leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order. It's Alex Jones.
It's a very important relationship. We're going to get along good with China. I hear so many stories about we're not going to allow their students. We're going to allow their students to come in. We're going to allow. It's very important. 600,000 students. It's very important.
I mean, it is official CFR globalist policy to deindustrialize the United States. On purpose, the Great Reset. We have all the carbon controls. China has none. It's designed to screw us. It's on purpose, Trump! China is testing. China is manipulating. China is seeing how far they can go with these probes. And when you put it together with their Confucian societies and $6 billion a year in the U.S. universities to control academia and biopoliticians, and you look at their acquisition of the media and the fact that they own four of the six big production houses in Hollywood.
Lacking farmland, China has struggled to secure food for its 1.4 billion citizens. Just recently, in August, four Chinese government departments warned a drought posed a severe threat to the autumn harvest. That has driven overseas investments in food, including the purchase of Virginia-based pork producer Smithfield Foods and partnership with Growmark, a grain logistics firm.
This entire system we see is being foisted by a handful of corporations and the Chinese communists. The people that run our country are out to get us. They're at war with us on every front, and you already know that. But as soon as we can get the bureaucrats and the woke leftists to just pull back and understand that they've been Stockholm syndromed and that they're helping their own abusers and destroyers, and they're pretending like they're part of some liberal revolution to create a utopia, as soon as they realize that this liberal utopia is meant to bring in total autocratic tyranny, and then they're going to have a backlash and ban the entire leftist system that they've injected into us to only paralyze us. In the next phase of the New World Order program, ladies and gentlemen, it's going to be eugenics all the way. But they intend on making the world so hellish in the buildup to 2030 that everybody will just wink, wink when they release the race-specific bioweapons, starting with Africa, that are going to wipe that continent absolutely out.
Communist tabloid The Global Times explains China's Global Civilization Initiative as the third major global initiative presented by China after the Global Development Initiative and the Global Security Initiative. This narrative deceptively claims the initiative calls for respect for the diversity of civilizations, upholding the common values of humanity and pursuing peace, development, equity, justice, democracy, and freedom, and promoting robust international people-to-people exchanges and cooperation.
House Oversight says they've got bank records showing a Chinese energy company paying three Biden family members through a third party. What were they paid for?
Look, I'm just not going to respond to that from here.
He's telling us that he paid around $11,000 to complete the strip that's either paid to a cartel or different human smuggling groups. But he just arrived here in Texas, once again, just highlighting that this sector is leading the nation in those illegal crossings from Chinese nationals.
The emerging BRICS countries quickly fell in line behind President Xi's illusion.
We have lost people. Now, how much more bloodshed do we need to understand that the transition is upon us?
South African President Cyril Ramaphosa said that he fully agrees with Xi's initiative.
South Africa is grateful to the People's Republic of China for its support throughout the pandemic.
While UN water-carrying Serbian President Aleksandar Vučić also said that nations should uphold the principles of equality, mutual learning, dialogue, and inclusiveness. Equality from a Chinese government that is conducting a mass genocidal sterilization campaign on its citizens known as the Uyghurs.
Before eating, we have to praise or say that we are grateful to country. We are very grateful for China's Communist Party, and we are grateful for Xi Jinping.
This desperate man says he and his wife and children are starving. Uyghurs were barely allowed to leave their homes during the COVID-19 lockdown.
Mutual learning from a cover-up of a global lab leak that has killed millions and damaged millions more through the initial virus and its subsequent vaccine. Once the layers of propaganda are stripped off, that even American media gleefully engages in, Xi's speech is laid bare for what it is, the announcement of the impending emergence of a new world order carefully constructed by globalist think tanks for decades. John Bowne reporting.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is September 5th, 2025. You are tuned into the War Room at Infowars.com/show and at Infowars on X or band.video. I'm your host, Rob Dew. I actually organized things today. These are my topics. I have evil villain dinner, the economy, RFK fallout, government crimes, and disturbing. Disturbing we'll probably save for the final hour. But let me tell you, it's going to be disturbing. You're going to be disturbed. Hopefully, I guess, as much as I am. Because if you're not disturbed by what's going on in the world, well, let's start with the evil villain dinner. So we got Bill Gates. We got Tim Cook. Who else was there? The CEO of Oracle. What was her name? Safra Katz. We had all the AI players, Zuckerberg, all there. And people are like, oh, how could Trump have dinner with these people? What I find is when people immediately jump to these conclusions of what this means, they're usually wrong. If you look at Bill Gates' body language while this is going on, he doesn't look very comfortable. None of these guys look very comfortable because they were all anti-Trump. They were all anti-Trump for a long time. And now he's got him there basically kissing his ass. So I'm not forgiving this dinner. I'm not saying it was a good thing. In fact, I've got a video from Steve Bannon. He definitely thinks it was a bad thing. But I think this was an ego stroke for Trump. Have these people here, get him to kiss his ass. And hopefully this isn't the kickoff to human extinction with this big AI dinner. But let's start with Bill Gates talking about how his work's going to change the world and he's working on new vaccines. And then I'm going to play what Bill Gates really says. So this is kind of like, the dressing, and then you open up and you look underneath and you see what Bill Gates is really all about. And it's all about depopulation. So here, let's start with the evil villain dinner. This is Bill Gates.
Well, I'm in the second phase of my career, giving away all the wonderful money that Satya's good work has helped multiply a lot. But I think the thing that ties my first career that I still spend some time on, because AI is so phenomenal, and my second career is innovation, innovating in health in areas like vaccines or gene editing. And the president and I are talking about taking American innovation to the next level to cure and even eradicate some of these diseases. He mentioned polio, which is one that we're close. We don't need new science on that one. For some like HIV and sickle cell, we do need new science, but the U.S. Has the seeds that, in the same way that Warp Speed took those seeds and put them together, I think something fantastic can be done. AI for our foundation is that we want a doctor for everyone in Africa through AI. We want farmers to have incredible advice and, kids to have a chance to learn. So the work being done by the people at this table is changing the world. It's, coming fast, so it's great. We all get together and talk about how the U.S. can lead in this key area and apply it even to the poorest outside the U.S. as well as to our great citizens. So thank you for incredible leadership, including getting this group together.
One issue that really grabbed me as urgent were issues related to population.
In
1998, Dr. Zabin became the founding director of the Bill and Melinda Gates Institute for Population Control.
So we see a lot of things that are going very well, things like reducing childhood death and First, we've got population. Now, the world today has 6.8 billion people. Now, if we do a really great job on new vaccines, health care, reproductive health services. We could lower that by perhaps 10 or 15%.
Now, if we do a really great job on new vaccines, health care, reproductive health services, we could lower that by perhaps 10 or 15%.
Is spending $1 million on that last 3 months of life for that patient, would it be better not to lay off those 10 teachers and to make that trade-off in medical costs? But that's called the death panel, and you're not supposed to have that discussion. Today, the greatest risk of global catastrophe doesn't look like this. Instead, it looks like this. If anything kills over 10 million people in the next few decades, it's most likely to be a highly infectious virus rather than a war.
If anything kills over 10 million people in the next few decades, it's most likely to be a highly infectious virus.
So let's look at each one of these and see how we can get this down to zero. Probably one of these numbers is going to have to get pretty near to zero. Now, malaria is, of course, transmitted by mosquitoes. I brought some here so you could experience this. We'll let those roam around the auditorium a little bit.
But did you come to reproductive issues as an intellectual?
When I was growing up, my parents were always involved in various volunteer things. My dad was head of Planned Parenthood. The ultimate solution, the only thing that really lets us go back completely to normal and feel good about sitting in a stadium with lots of other people, is to create a vaccine and not just take care of our country, but take that vaccine out to the global population. We clearly need a vaccine that works in the upper age range because they're most at risk of that. And doing that so that you amp it up so it works in older people and yet you don't have side effects. You know, if we have, you know, 1 in 10,000 side effects, that's, you know, way more, 700,000, you know, people who will suffer from that. But you don't have a choice. People act like you have a choice. People don't feel like going to the stadium when they might get infected.
What else are we not listening to that we need to take action on now?
Well,
look at that smile.
The idea of a bioterrorist attack is kind of the nightmare scenario.
The
economy is not going to be anything like it was. It's going to take a long time to recover. It's going to be, you know, people are going to be surprised at how slow and how fitful this is.
So when you see Bill Gates talking about all the innovations and all the medicine he wants to bring to the world, he really wants to depopulate. That depopulation is in his blood. It's in his genealogy. It's in his soul. I mean, this is what, if this guy even has a soul. He wants to depopulate the earth. He feels there's too many people. He wants to buy all the farmland so he can control it. He wants to spray your crops with even the organic ones with his appeal little coating, which you don't even know what's in it. He wants to bury trees instead of planting them. He wants to spray particles into the sky. And he wants to bring his vaccines all over the world. So that's the kind of person that's sitting right next to Melania Trump. And I noticed she made a jump at one point when he mentioned something. She like jumped, like she was taken aback and startled. So let's do the Tim Cook clip next. And, I mean, if anybody's a robot, it's Tim Cook. the guy uses the words, I am enjoying the interacting. He's enjoying the interacting with people. Like, who talks like that? These people are out of control. Here it is.
Tim Cook, you've done an incredible job with Apple, little company called Apple.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Very, very few people have been able to do what you've done. Congratulations. Please.
Thank you, sir. That means a lot to me. I want to thank you for including me this evening. It's incredible to be among everyone here, particularly you and the First Lady.
Right.
I've always enjoyed having dinner and interacting. I want to thank you for setting the tone such that we could make a major investment in the United States and have some key manufacturing, advanced manufacturing here. I think that says a lot about your focus and your leadership and your focus on innovation. I also want to thank you for helping American companies around the world. This is a very key thing, and I really enjoy working with your administration on those topics as well, because I think they're so important to the country. I want to thank the First Lady for focusing on education. There's nothing more important than education. It is the great equalizer, and always will be. And so thank you so much for including me. We are all different in some ways, but we all believe in the power of technology to improve people's lives, and that is the thing that binds us all together.
And Tim, how much money will Apple be investing in the United States? Because I know it's a very lot, and it's, you know, you were elsewhere, and now you're really coming home in a big way. How much money will you be investing?
$600 billion.
$600 billion. All right. It's a lot of jobs.
We're very proud to do it.
That's great. Thank you very much.
He claims he's going to be making some the glass screens that are the screens on your iPhone. They're going to be making them here, putting some of the phones together here, parts of them at least. But most of it will still be done overseas, and they're looking at maybe moving it to India. There's some interesting trade information about India coming up, some of the things that the president said. I'll get to that later. We want to make the rounds here on the evil villain dinner. And this is the first clip. Somebody sent me this last night. And CEO Safra Katz, she's the CEO of Oracle. AI is going to change everything. She also kisses the president's butt. See, here's the thing. None of these people voted for Trump or supported Trump at all. And now he's brought them to the table and made them basically. And I tell you what, the sound at this meeting was great. Whoever had the mics hooked up did a great job. I mean, you can hear everything that everybody's saying. There's no weird hum. They're just a good job on the technical end. And but here's Safra Katz. And then we're going to play another video of her, just part of one. But we'll get to that in 1 second. But let's listen to a little more of the butt kissing.
This is a most incredible time. AI is going to change everything. You hear all of us saying that. But the fact that you are our president and you recognize this right away and you've unleashed American innovation and creativity, all the work you're doing in basically every cabinet post, in addition to what's coming out of the White House, is making it possible for America to win. Today's event that was spearheaded by our wonderful First Lady, focusing on education, is the center of where we need to go, because it is all of these young people who can't be afraid of new technologies. They literally have to embrace it and make America even stronger. And that focus was very, very critical. And I think this is the most exciting time in America ever, at least that I remember. So thank you. Thank you for everything you're doing.
And that was the first clip I saw last night. And I said, metaphysically, it looks like Bill's being brought to heel. Technically, whoever ran the sound on this should get an Emmy. And possibly this statement will be examined in 5 years as the kickoff of the 21st century extinction event. Because you never know. I mean, if AI is what they say it's going to be and becomes self-aware and then starts to program itself, we could be in for some trouble. But there's also the school of thought that AI is basically learning from itself now, as it before it was learning from other people's work, but now it's learning from what it's doing. There's so much AI information out there, and that it's creating ghosts in the machine, little dreams that they say, and it might end up imploding on itself, and that there could be a, like we had the dot-com bubble, there'll be an AI bubble. So, time will tell. But just a little bit on the Oracle CEO, Safra Catz. She was a big, big supporter of DEI. So when she sits there and is kissing the president's butt, it's very disingenuous. This is a interview she did. It was an internal interview back in July of 2022, talking about how happy she is about DEI and how it helped her. And I'll cut out this video at some point. I don't think we're going to play the whole thing, but here it is.
Statistics shows that when we build a diverse and inclusive culture, it has to start with our executive leadership, our CEO. And Safra, you really embody the support of diversity and inclusion.
This brings me so much joy and pride, frankly, because we have been working on diversity actually for decades, and I'm glad we're doing more and getting recognition for it and hopefully attracting more people on our mission.
Why is this not only the right thing to do, Safra, but considered a business imperative for Oracle?
We are solving the world's hardest problems here at Oracle. We actually are trying to cure cancer here and trying to catch COVID and keep people's security close in and not in danger. And you know what? To solve these problems, you need everyone on the mission with you. So sometimes you do it just because it is the right thing to do. But the bonus here is it's the best thing to do for any business. I can tell you, I wouldn't be where I am today if folks did not fight their
unconscious. All right, we can pull out there. Did you hear that? We're helping people catch COVID. Now, that was pretty interesting, a little slip of the tongue there. And she's like, it's the best thing to do. Hiring people based on their skin color is the best thing to do. Not hiring people or their sex even. Not hiring people on their merit or on their abilities. You know, no. The best thing for these companies is just to hire people because of how they look or if they have a nose ring or pink hair, whatever. That's who's at dinner with President Trump right there. So here's a take from Steve Bannon. Said Zuckerberg should be in a cell, not at dinner with the president. And Bill Gates, Mr. Vaccine himself. So let's go. This is a tirade from Steve Bannon. And I think it kind of sums up what I think most people are thinking in the MAGA universe.
You should be in a cell. Bill Gates, on a day that Bobby Kennedy gets, that Elizabeth Warren, Pocahontas, is ripping his face off in front of the world, you're going to have Bill Gates, Mr. Vaccine? What in the hell are we doing? Whoever set that dinner up should be perp walked out of the White House today. Somebody's got to get control of this deal, okay? On the economic messaging, on all the messaging, President Trump's policies are hammering home maximalist urgency, seize the institutions, bang, 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 but he can't do everything.
Uh-oh. Bannon was so mad, it looks like he seized up right there. Emerald Robinson said, we're about 5 minutes away from Trump super PAC bots attacking Bannon and Loomer for being Democrats, just like they attacked Massey and MTG yesterday. Trump's base has had enough of lousy Trump advisors in the White House. Heads should roll. So, you've got that dinner. I think I can kind of read why Trump did that. He wanted these people to come and basically kiss the ring. And I mean, in some ways it makes sense. In other ways, it's bad optics. So we'll see what happens. This is a short story. We only got about 3 minutes left in this segment. So I'm not going to go into the next tranche, which we'll get into the economy and the RFK fallout next. Oh, I'm going to have Ann Vandersteel on next hour We're going to be talking about how the IRS is going in and just changing people's tax returns so then they could come and steal their property. It's an amazing story. And then on the third hour, I'm going to have Christy Lee in here. And it's possible we're trying to get Rudy Giuliani on. So that should be very interesting. Couple things. Just some Texas news. We'll finish up with that. Austin, Texas blasted over 1.1 million. Sorry, guys, for logo design. There's the new City of Austin logo. And I guess that's supposed to be the river going through North Austin and South Austin, even though it doesn't make a bend like that anywhere. but of course that was $1 million. So you know there is what do we call some grifting going on somewhere in the city of Austin. Did you guys find the Dallas logo? I think it almost uses the same exact colors. I didn't I'm not a big fan of Dallas, but I think they use the exact same colors. So I don't know what it is with this green and blue that they're using. Also, I don't have the article here, but Texas banned the use of lab-grown meat. And so if you're interested, if you do a search for Texas Beef Initiative, oh, there's the Dallas. So yeah, see, it's blue and green, sort of the same thing with those lines. But the Texas Beef Initiative, if you're looking for a way to support a local rancher and get good meat that's not infused with hormones or mRNA or GMO, check out the Texas Beef Initiative. They basically they help out. They sent like 20,000 pounds of ground beef down to the flood victims in Texas, down in over in Kerrville. And they basically work with local ranchers, and you get to go on and you buy. It's a little more expensive than going to the store, but you're not getting meat that's been, slathered in carbon monoxide. You know, that's how they keep that pink color. They put carbon monoxide in there before they seal it in the plastic wrap. So they do a lot of gross things with it. But Texas, guys, see if y'all can find something on Texas banning meat. I thought I printed those out. I had a little bit of a, not a tantrum, but I went to go get my articles, and there were like two articles in the computer after I printed like 15. And then I found some, but I don't think I found them all. So somebody took my Texas meat article, but it was about how they, how Texas is outlawed. New Texas ban on cell cultured protein as an unconstitutional interstate trade barrier. So there it is. Texas is doing some good things. They could do some things better. Work on their property taxes, guys. And, well, we've redistricted. So we'll be back. I got a lot more news and some fantastic guests. There's Viral Bill saying hi. He cares about you. All right, breaking news. Trump just signed an executive order to rename the Department of Defense to the Department of War. We're going to go to that in 1 second, but people are going, well, why is he calling it the Department of War? He's going to start more wars. No, it used to be called the Department of War. And when we started the Department of War, we won or helped win World War I and World War II by going all out and doing total war. And then in 1949, they changed it. And then we went to the Korean War, and we kind of did this kind of, we're not really going to win the war. We're just going to kind of play defense. And then same thing in Vietnam. And we kind of went back into total war a little bit when we went into Iraq. And I'm not saying any of these wars were good. I think they were all BS. Iraq and Afghanistan and Iraq again and Syria and all the other actions we took. But by calling it the Department of War, you're being truthful in what you're doing. We're not defending ourselves. We're not being attacked. We are attacking people. So let's go to President Trump signing that, and we'll have his comments.
Well, thank you very much. We'll start by signing three very important bills. And Will, would you discuss them, please?
Yes, sir. This is H.R. 2808. This is the Home Buyers Privacy Protection Act. The congressman here was the lead sponsor, so I think maybe he
John Rose, yes.
Say more about it than
John,
I can.
Please.
Well, it's difficult for Americans to buy a home, particularly after the last 4 years, sir. But with the president's signature today, we're going to make it easy for people to buy a home without getting hassled. For years, their private personal information has been bought and sold in the open market, resulting in them getting innumerable phone calls and text messages But with your signature today, we're going to put an end to that so that when Americans try to realize the American dream of owning a home, they're able to do so without being harassed.
Good job. Good. It's a great honor, John.
Yeah, now I guess you could sue the companies that are selling your information.
Okay. There it is. And that's going to help a lot of the homeowners of our great country.
Kind of a, I don't know, my opinion.
John, want to hold that?
You know, sure. It should be your responsibility to hide your information or tell people
thank
to
you, John, very much.
Shove
thank you
it.
Very much. Thank you very
calling
much.
You or block their number.
Okay, Will, you go ahead.
A number of other things.
I'd like to leave you with this gift from a constituent back in Tennessee.
Oh, I could use that at night.
It's an American flag.
That's after. Very nice. I like that.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you very much. That's very nice.
Next, we have a number of executive orders for your attention, sir.
Okay.
From 1789 until 1947, our nation won some of its greatest military victories. Under the direction of a Secretary of War operating within a Department of War. Today, with this executive order, you will authorize the current Secretary of Defense and the current Department of Defense to once again embrace this great lineage and once again be named the Secretary of War and the Department of War.
So this is something we thought long and hard about. We've been talking about it for months, Pete and I and Dan. Dan came into the fold. By the way, a great general. He headed up the, I wouldn't call it an attack. I'd almost call that one maybe even more than an attack. What he did with Iran, you saw the success of that operation. It was perfect. In fact, this was sent to me by the great company that makes that particular B-2 bomber, and it was flawless. It was actually flawless. They flew for 37 hours back and forth, and there wasn't a bolt that was out of condition. There wasn't an engine failure. There was no problem. It was a perfect attack, and it knocked out any possible nuclear capability for Iran, which nobody wanted to see and we weren't going to put up with. So great job, Dan. And we've been talking about this Department of War. So we won the First World War. We won the Second World War. We won everything before that and in between. And then we decided to go woke and we changed the name to Department of Defense. So we're going Department of War. And I'd like to ask our Secretary of War to say a few words. Pete Hegseth, I think it's a much more appropriate name, especially in light of where the world is right now. We have the strongest military in the world. We have the greatest equipment in the world. We have the greatest manufacturers of equipment by far. There's nobody to even compete. And you see that with this and so many other things. The Patriots are the best. Every element of the military, we make the best by far. So, Pete, I'd like to ask you and maybe Dan Raising Cane to say a few words, please.
Mr. President, thank you. After winning a war for independence in 1789, George Washington established the War Department, and Henry Knox was his first Secretary of War. And this country won every major war after that, to include World War I and World War II. Total victory, Mr. President, as you said. Then 150 years after that, we changed the name after World War II from the Department of War to the Department of Defense in 1947. And as you pointed out, Mr. President, we haven't won a major war since. And that's not to disparage our warfighters, whether it's the Korean War, or the Vietnam War, or our generation of Iraq and Afghanistan. That's to recognize that this name change is not just about renaming. It's about restoring. Words matter. It's restoring, as you've guided us to, Mr. President, restoring the warrior ethos. Restoring victory and clarity as an end state. Restoring intentionality to the use of force. So at your direction, Mr. President, the War Department is going to fight decisively, not endless conflicts. It's going to fight to win, not to lose. We're going to go on offense, not just on defense. Maximum lethality, not tepid legality. Violent effect, not politically correct. We're going to raise up warriors, not just defenders. So this War Department, Mr. President, just like America, is back. Thank you for your leadership and your clarity. We're going to set the tone for this country. America first, peace through strength, brought to you by the War Department.
We're back.
All right. Thank you very much.
All right.
Very well
so
stated.
It really does reminds me of a line from Platoon where one of the grunts is complaining that, you know, we're trying to fight this war with one hand tied behind our balls. And which is why they couldn't win, because it really wasn't about winning. It was mainly just about keeping troops there, shipping drugs back, you know, creating that triangle of heroin and, you know, using up resources. That's what it's been about. So yeah, you go in, you fight a war, you get out. If you're going to fight a war, you don't prolong it and screw around like what we're doing with these regime change wars of the last 60 years. I want to get to some RFK fallout clips here coming up. Dr. Drew went out in defense of RFK Jr. and what happened yesterday. And we got some other videos to go with that. But I want to talk about the Total War fundraiser sale. And imagine that. The government changes their name to Department of War. We have the Total War fundraiser sale. And we're selling war bonds because we're in the info war. We've always talked about being in the info war. You buy the $100 war bond, you get it mailed to you, and you get a promo code for $110 in store credit. So you're going to make $10 off that. Plus, you get a nice piece of artwork. We have 25% off all store-wide apparel. And also, buy one, get one half off on Atomic Defense. I got them right here. The Shilajit, well, that's the Shilajit gummies. This is Atomic Defense, or the Atomic Defense. This is the pills. And then we got the Shilajit gummies and capsules. So I don't have the Shilajit capsules with me, but buy one, get one half off of each of those, all three of those. Plus we got the war bond. And then also 40% off all knives and silver coins, including the limited edition signature battle dagger, Alex Jones battle dagger. It's got his signature on it. And the Midnight Rider limited edition silver coin. Check it all out at thealexjonesstore.com. That's thealexjonesstore.com. Buy one, get one 50% off of Atomic Defense and Shilajit. And 25% off all apparel. It's your funding out there. It's when you go, you spend your hard-earned money. It keeps us going, keeps us in the fight, and we're not stopping, just to let you know. Doesn't matter what's going to happen. All right, let's get to RFK. This was Dr. Drew actually going on News Nation with Chris Cuomo, who's, you know, you thought he might have changed his spots and changed his tune. Oh, no. He's a vax hole all the way through and through. And so this is Dr. Drew taking on some pro-medical creature and Fredo, Chris Cuomo. Here it is.
Vaccines are going to be recommended.
No
none.
Chris, you said no mandates. Do you have the bio?
He said they're not going to be required. Drew,
mandate.
Hold on, Drew.
No
Drew,
mandate
Drew.
To go to school.
I'm going to bounce this to Jessica.
To
I know, Drew. Drew, and you're telling me that you think as a question of science, and I'm going to let Jessica answer it right now because she's more qualified, but if your position is, oh, yeah, you don't need to make kids have to take certain vaccines to go to school. It'll be okay. Just leave it to their doctors. I don't buy that at all, and our experience doesn't buy it. But, Jess, you give your take, and then Drew can respond.
Sure. I mean, I think this is interesting that this happens all the time. What a lot of people will do is they'll say, oh, we don't have the data, we don't have the science, kind of relying on people to not know that we do have a lot of good data to establish these recommendations.
Studies.
I mean, Dr. Drew brought up the Hep B vaccine. Experts in that area consistently discuss how we have good data and why the Hep B vaccine is given. And, I mean, even Senator Cassidy
pause for a second. She doesn't say when it's given. When is it given? Oh, it's given the day they're born. Doesn't matter if the mom doesn't have hepatitis. And they do that, you know, they want to say, oh, it's because the mom could have hepatitis or if we have to give a blood transfusion to the baby. No, most babies don't need blood transfusions. They do that because the nurses might have hepatitis and they don't want the nurses giving the baby hepatitis, which is why you always go with your baby. I think I told a couple shows ago, you always follow the baby wherever the baby goes if you're in the hospital. All right, let's finish up this clip.
On a needle? Is a child going to use IV drugs? Is a child going to have sex with a drug user? Is the child's mother have hepatitis B? No, because we test for that. Why are we giving hepatitis B vaccine? And again, bioethics matter. Bioethical standing is that nobody is harmed by what we do to them. That's a bioethical mandate. Yes, we want to protect others, but we first must do no harm.
Look at the faces.
Isn't that a projection, Dr. Drew, that you think the COVID vaccine hurt more people than it helped?
No, not if you're over 65. I helped a lot of patients with that vaccine, particularly during the Alpha and Delta phase.
You think under 65, the vaccine hurt more people?
If you were 20 years of age, the probability is I would say you were more likely to be harmed than helped at age 20.
You would say, but what would you say based on? Are you saying that based on data or just like what?
I'm saying based
on. There is no data.
The probability of a 20-year-old getting serious illness from COVID, even all the way back in the Alpha and Delta phase, but certainly in Omicron, let's just use Omicron. The probability of a 20-year-old getting severe illness from Omicron approaches zero. The probability of myocarditis was non-zero. So the risk reward was just not there. And yet it was mandated for those kids to go to school, for college. The mandate, that you, if you want it, get it by all means. But the bioethical standing for a mandate is just not there for a lot of these things that we did very casually, where risk reward was not a proper, and there was not a proper analysis, and physicians were scared to do anything except what came down from on high, which is not our role as physician. Our role is to represent that patient in front of us in the specific, unique circumstance of that patient.
There it is. Mm-hmm. Now let's go to NIH Director Dr. Bhattacharya, who is saying basically censorship is what killed a lot of people in the United States because doctors weren't allowed to give out information. Doctors weren't allowed to put out videos of information. Anything that was put up that was in conflict with the CDC or the NIH, boom, it got pulled out on Facebook, on YouTube, everywhere. Here he is talking about it.
Scientific discussion, suppressing policy discussion, should have been a bright red line that should never have crossed. And the government agencies essentially decided to treat scientific debate on COVID policy as if it were the dissidents around who were on the other side of the government, as if they were just like those international terrorists in some sense. They thought it was okay to suppress those kinds of people, those kinds of ideas. As an American citizen, I don't think that it's right for the American government to have that kind of power. The basic fundamental American norm is free speech. And I understand there are nuances around exactly what that means. Free speech is not the freedom to reach everybody. But at the very heart is permitting a space for debate to take place among scientists and policymakers and concerned members of the public on vital policy issues. The government's decided through its actions that they didn't want to let that happen during the pandemic. And again, as a result, it's really not about me. It's about the fact that we would have won this debate about lockdown policy, and so many people that were harmed wouldn't have been harmed. These vaccine mandates wouldn't have been in place. People wouldn't have lost their jobs or careers over them. The schools would have opened earlier. The panic mongering would have been addressed, so the anxiety and depression problems we're seeing might have been less, and the economic devastation from the lockdown policies might have been avoided, at least to some degree. All of these consequences, the conclusion I take away from that is that this censorship activity killed people. The First Amendment, ironically, during the pandemic, we heard all these things like we can't have free speech during a pandemic. The Constitution is not a suicide pact. Ironically, the reality is that the First Amendment would have, if it had been actually in place during the pandemic, would have saved lives, would have led to less damage, less destruction, fewer people dead.
And, you know, I don't agree with everything Dr. Bhattacharya says all the time, or Dr. Drew. I mean, Dr. Drew is just saying, oh, the vaccine helped older people. You know, I don't know if that's true or not, because I can't trust any of the data that came out, because it was all sanitized. And the reason, you know, they're saying they don't know what the data is, because the VAERS database was incomplete. They think maybe 1% of the damage and death that came out of that gets reported. So, but these guys are way better than what we had. When you look at Rochelle Walensky and Lena Wynn and all these other talking heads that were just like, oh, no, there's no debate. You have to do what we say. Let's go back to Dr. Drew talking about the origins of the CDC. I mean, a lot of people think the CDC should be out there Its mission has changed over time, but here's the original mission of the CDC.
What does the CDC do? What is their function? Do you have any idea what their... That's part of what I was observing. Nobody seems to understand what the CDC role is in healthcare. Do you have any idea? We report on it all the time. Do you know what their original charter was and what they're supposed to do now?
Please share.
They originally were advising how to eradicate malaria. That was the original charter of the CDC. Now, they are to advise, strictly advise. They're to oversee the public health system. Public health is not healthcare. It is not the healthcare system. It's an advisory panel to help physicians make decisions. And you know what the physicians at their liberty to do, regardless of the FDA, regardless of the CDC, is to do whatever he or she thinks is in the best interest of the patient sitting in front of them. That's it. That is our charge. I taught medicine for 20 years. Never once did I ask one of the residents, what the CDC tell you to do about that? I might have asked about CDC data, but the CDC is not healthcare. Public health is not healthcare, and people are terribly confused, and these senators are grotesquely confused about what these bureaucracies are charged to do.
Yeah, those aren't senators. Roll that again just so we could see the senators and how they're bitching at RFK Jr., these old fossils that want to do nothing but do what they're told from their the people that pay their bonuses and their money that they get. I remember when Bernie Sanders was talking about, we got to talk about the Republicans who got the money. RFK Jr. didn't get any money from Big Pharma. Pocahontas certainly did. So kudos to him. Now we're going to go to RFK Jr. talking about how the hepatitis vaccine was added to the CDC schedule, which is their advisory schedule of, you know, for shots for kids. Here it is.
Most of the vaccines after 1989 were added not for public health reasons, but for profit, pharmaceutical profit reasons. So why are we vaccinating one-day-old babies for hepatitis B when the only way they're going to get hepatitis B is, you know, hepatitis B is sexually transmitted. You get it from having sex with, you know, with from multiple partners, gay sex, or from sex workers, or intravenous drug use. Why would you give that to a baby? It clearly the only reason, in fact, Merck, when it developed the drug, was told by FDA and CDC, we want you to develop this for those vulnerable populations. And the populations, when they didn't buy it, Merck went back to the agencies and saying, you told us to develop this vaccine, nobody's buying it. And CDC said, don't worry, we'll just recommend it for children. We'll force everybody to buy it. So that's how it got on the schedule. There's no medical justification. It's true that you can get hepatitis B from an infected mother, but every mother in every hospital in the United States is tested for hepatitis B, so you can identify the kids who would benefit. You don't give it mass population-wide.
So nobody wanted to give this to their baby, so the CDC's like, we'll just add it to our list of things that they need to do. And parents are stupid, and, you know, or we can bully them. I wouldn't say parents are stupid. Parents can be easily bullied, especially when they go into a hospital and the doctors are like, we need to do this. It's safe and effective. It's safe and effective. Safe and effective. And what does this all come down to? This all comes down to natural rights. Do we have rights over our own bodies? Do we have the rights to say what we think? Do we have the right to defend ourselves? These are natural rights. Well, here's Tim Kaine, who ran for a vice president with Hillary Clinton back in 2016. A lot of people don't even remember who this guy is. Tim Walz. It's funny, they get Tims. There's a lot of Tims. But here's Tim Kaine talking about that our natural rights come from the laws and government. That's how screwed in the head these people are. Here it is.
The notion that rights don't come from laws and don't come from the government, but come from the creator, that's what the Iranian government believes. It's a theocratic regime that bases its rule on Shia law and targets Sunnis, Baha'is, Jews, Christians, and other religious minorities. And they do it because they believe that they understand what natural rights are from their creator. So the statement that our rights do not come from our laws or our governments is extremely troubling.
You see that? If you believe in freedom of speech or freedom to defend yourself or freedom of religion, then you're an Iranian terrorist, basically, according to Tim Kaine. But if you look, the foundational principles of the Bill of Rights include inalienable rights of limited government, the rule of law, and the protection of the individual liberties against government interference. These principles are rooted in the idea that people possess fundamental rights like liberty and property, and the government must respect. The Bill of Rights, comprising the first 10 amendments of the Constitution, serves to define these rights and establish necessary limits on government power. Key foundational principles. Oh, what's the first one? Natural rights, a belief that an individual possesses inherent, inalienable rights such as life, liberty, and property that are not granted by government but are fundamental. See, that's what Tim Kaine doesn't understand. That's why it's a good thing he never became vice president, because he thinks government gives you your rights. No, this was to protect us from government taking our rights that were God-given. That's the problem with these people. They don't understand that. Let's look at a little bit more. Limited government, a core principle that government power should be restricted and defined by law to prevent it from infringing on individual liberties. Oh, and what are individual liberties? The Bill of Rights specifically protects various freedoms, including the freedom of speech, press, religion, the right to a fair trial, and ensuring these rights are not denied by the government. But in the case of the J6ers, they were denied because they were brought into a court system that was stacked against them with a jury that was handpicked to deliver and rubber stamp guilty, guilty, guilty for walking through velvet ropes. The rule of law, the principle that both citizens and government officials are subject to and accountable under law, ensuring that everyone is treated equally and fairly. Well, we don't quite have that, do we? We haven't seen any of these people who stole the 2020 election, or who were mandating that people take shots, or who were lying about the science. These people aren't getting in trouble trying to impeach the president over nothing, over fake news, essentially. And the final one here, consent of the governed. The idea that the government derives its power from the people it governs, making it accountable to them and their rights. We need to get back to these principles. And hopefully, with President Trump, we get closer to that. We'll be right back. We're going to have Ann Vandersteel coming up and talking about what the crazy shenanigans the IRS are engaged in. And it's going to be a great interview. Stay tuned. You're watching The War Room.
America, what if I told you the IRS can falsify your federal records and the government's watchdog refuses to tell you who did it or what they found? That's exactly what's happening. And yes, we've got the receipts. IRS Revenue Officer Bradley Marler accessed internal IRS systems, the IRC systems, BEARS, AIMS, and the IMF. That's right, the individual master file for the taxpayer, and manipulated federal records to justify seizing taxpayer Mr. Ebenezer Howe's home. We filed a formal complaint with TIGDA, the Treasury Inspector General. They opened an investigation, case number TRN 2410-0364. But now they're hiding the results and their reasons. First, releasing the report, they said, would be an unwarranted invasion of Marler's privacy. Secondly, they said it might reveal law enforcement techniques. And thirdly, they had the audacity to claim it could risk circumvention of the law. Wait, what? Forging federal tax records in government systems isn't cybercrime? And releasing proof of that crime is a threat to law enforcement? That's absurd. Let's be clear. Privacy? Marler waived that the moment he falsified federal records, which is a felony. Techniques? If fraud is a law enforcement tactic, this country is in a whole lot more trouble. And circumvention of the law? This is the circumvention of the law. TIGDA is shielding criminal misconduct. And IRS attorney Kimberly Clark, she lied under oath to hide Marler's actions, and they're hiding that investigation too. Michael Ellis asked TIGDA's FOIA officer, David Greek, who made the decision to block disclosure and why? Because this is more than corruption. It's the weaponization of IRS systems against law-abiding Americans. But here's what you can do. Call TIGDA's Deputy Inspector General Trevor Nelson. He can be reached at 202-927-0150. Or email Mr. Nelson at TIGDA and ask them, why won't Trevor Nelson investigate cybercrime inside the IRS? Why is TIGDA covering up the case TRN 2410-0364? And when felonies are hidden to protect federal employees, we no longer have oversight. we have tyranny. America, get busy, do your civic duty.
All right, and that was an incredible promo for what we're about to discuss. She's the host of Steel News, and right now with Ann Vandersteel, my guest is Ann Vandersteel, and we're going to be talking about this crazy story where an IRS officer, basically what Mr. Howe is claiming is that this guy went in and falsified 8 of his digital records. The IMF, is that the actual tax return you send in? Is that what is called the IMF when it goes to the Internal Revenue Service? Ann, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, Rob, thanks for having me. This story is so incredibly important to Americans because this is not a one-off. Mr. Ben Howe is prima facie example number one of how the IRS is doing it. Joe Bannister, I want to take us back in time really quickly. Joe Bannister, a former IRS agent, talked about this years ago, but couldn't get traction. In fact, he was even on Fox News on Laura Ingraham's program. But, you know, back in the day, internet wasn't as prolific as it is today. What we have today with Freedom of Information Act requests and getting a little bit lucky by Mr. Howe is the fact that he learned that he had had the IRS falsifying his and basically entering what is called your individual master file, the IMF. Every taxpayer has an IMF. And the IRS revenue officer, Bradley Marler, was manipulating internal systems like IRCS, BEARS, AIMS, to actually get to that individual master file to fabricate a paper trail of 1040As, which Mr. Howe never filed, never authorized the IRS to file on his behalf. And so what it ended up happening was a series of these 1040As were filed over the years, accumulating
debt. All right, hold that. We're about to go to break. We're going to come back and I'll let you finish it. I'll let you recap it all. We're going to get to the bottom of this and let people know what's going on at the IRS. Welcome back to the War Room. I'm your host, Rob Due. Joining me is Ann Vandersteel, and we're discussing the case of Mr. Ebenezer K. Howe, who has filed a complaint against the IRS and with the Treasury Inspector General for Tax Administration. I guess the complaint is with them. But to get into this IRS officer who is manipulating digital records to eventually put a fraudulent lien on what Mr. Ebenezer Howe is calling a fraudulent lien against his Idaho home, and then initiating forfeiture litigation. So why don't you take us back to the top of this case again? You were talking about 1040As. I just had the guys look into that because I wasn't sure what a 1040A was, and they said it's been discontinued, but it's kind of an amalgamation of a few things. So when did this case, I guess, start? It says 5 years ago in 2019. Did it start in 2019, or does this go back even farther?
This goes back even further. Mr. Howe was a legal non-filer, and he didn't really have any assets that the IRS was interested in. But once he purchased a home in Idaho and actually gained, you know, some assets, something that would be of value to the IRS, they decided to file these returns without his knowledge. In fact, as the legal non-filer, and if people know their U.S. government and you know the 16th Amendment, number one, you know it was passed unconstitutionally. It was never ratified into positive law, but there is no law that says you must file and donate a portion of your money to the IRS. So Mr. Howe was well within his legal limits of what he's doing. And the IRS decided, well, we now see something of value, so we're going to try to attach to it. And they started filing these 1040As, which is basically the form that if you, the taxpayer, say, I want to opt into the system, I want to donate money to the IRS, and I want you to do the paperwork for me, that would be the 1040A. And what ended up happening is the IRS has weaponized your tax records, legitimately weaponized the American people's tax records. And it's not just Mr. Howe, as I said before break. This is going on across the country, and I'm being inundated with more people in the similar situation. They started filing 1040As on his behalf just so they could create that paper trail. They manipulated the internal systems of IRCS, BEARS, AIMS, and the individual master file, which is your holy grail of your information, to fabricate this paper trail. And what's even more atrocious in all of this is that IRS attorney Kimberly Clark concealed that manipulation in court. You know, so Mr. Howe has been sued by the United States government for forfeiture of his home, which, by the way, is on appeal in the Ninth Circuit. And the appeal, thank goodness, because Mr. Howe's out of the country, has been delayed until October. So they're not actually taking his house today, which is great. But she actually, the IRS attorney, concealed that manipulation
and took the DOJ marching in with those printouts to try to take his house. So this is outrageous that once again, Rob, we're just getting evidence that our government hates us. They're at war against the people.
Totally. Now, let me ask you this. Did they actually sign his name to these documents, or how did they? Because you're supposed to, when you submit something to the IRS, you sign it at the bottom saying this is all the information. It's true, I promise.
He never signed these, and he has evidence that he didn't sign these. He has all the evidence through Freedom of Information Act requests that show they manipulated every single aspect. As they said, there's a number of systems, ERCS, ERCS, BEARS, AIMS, and IMF. These are systems that all have to be manipulated in order to fabricate these 1040s. There's other codes that show when a 1040 is created, and then it is deleted. And he has captured all of the data to show that they created these documents, so that they could create a paper trail and rack up, you know, basically a debt to the IRS, and then deleted them. So when the DOJ says, well, there's no evidence of this, they have the evidence. And so the irony of all of this is now a complaint was filed in October of last year. Mr. Howe picked up a couple of great musketeers with him, Mr. Michael Ellis and Mr. Rob McNeil. Mr. McNeil is a tax accountant. And does, you know, massive consultations in the oil and gas business where Mr. Howe works. And Michael Ellis is somebody who has been, in the education business for many years, very bright man, they've all worked together to basically put together this case and fight the federal government tooth and nail, real David's versus Goliath. And they filed an employee integrity complaint with the Inspector General Taxation Administration, and it's now run up by Mr. Trevor Nelson. And they've been refused to even get a response. I mean, this is just how insidious all this is. And they're using deflection, like, oh, we're going to give up our sources and methods and law enforcement's in jeopardy and all this nonsense. But this is who's manipulating your tax records, the government, just so they can steal from you and take your personal property.
So part of their law enforcement techniques are creating false documents, signing your name to them, And then erasing them and putting them in so they could create fake debts. I mean, that is just amazing looking at all this. Now, how did Mr. Howe come to figure out? Did like IRS agents show up at his house and say, we're taking your house? Did he get a letter in the mail? How did all this go down?
He started to receive the typical letters in the mail. In fact, I had people texting me last night, friends of mine, that are saying, look, this is happening to me. And of course, let's just be honest. If you get a letter from the IRS, most people go, oh my God.
Yeah.
And you just get that sick feeling in your stomach. And so you're embarrassed. You don't know what to do. You don't want to be labeled a tax cheat. Not too dissimilar to what we see happening with CPS. CPS shows up at your house. You must be a bad parent. No, this is weaponization of the government. And so Mr. Howe, being unafraid, you know, this is someone who's incredibly intelligent. He's an engineer in the oil and gas business, and he's done this for years. He's sought after for his work all over the world. He's out of the country currently. That's one of the reasons he got the delay on the stay of the execution of forfeiture of his home right now, and they were able to belay that. He said, no, I'm not going to take this lying down. I did everything right. I can prove that I didn't file these returns. I didn't authorize the IRS to let me file these returns. So he created that paper trail, which is really what, if you want to fight the IRS, you must create a very clear paper trail. It's sort of like volleyball, Rob. You want to keep that ball in the air, volleying back and forth between you and the IRS. Don't let it drop, because the minute you ignore it is the minute they say you tacitly agree and are submissive.
That's your proving
to them
your guilt, essentially. If you say,
exactly.
Oh, or if you don't make their deadline, they're like, oh, you must be guilty because you didn't make our arbitrary deadline.
Bingo.
And
Bingo.
So you got a couple exhibits here that you sent me, exhibit B, C, and E. What are these detailing here?
All right, I'm going to pull them up because I don't have them memorized by heart. Which ones you've got? If you could sort of read me, I'll...
You have everything else memorized. I'm surprised you're doing...
I know. Well, when it comes to attachments and so forth, I'm going to pull it up right now, though. So the exhibits I sent, because I really wanted you all to have some visual aids on exactly how they're getting away with this. I've got it pulled up right here.
So I see a thing that says opening DLN. It's got a number on it. Is that where they first started to input documents in his name, in Mr. Howe's name?
Right. So you'll see there's on exhibit, the MD is a piece right here, exhibit B.
Mm-hmm.
This right here, if you want to pull that up, there you go.
Yeah.
That shows you the actual 1040, and that will show you the paper trail, essentially, of the money and the 1040 that was created and the debt that was created. This is, I think, probably the most exculpatory piece of evidence that shows that this is a complete and utter fabrication, in addition to what is known as these transcripts that generate what's called 4340s. And if the 4340 is what the courts are relying on tainted transcripts, then you are not going to get the true picture, because the 4340 shows you where they created a file. First of all, they manipulated the file. They created a tax return, and then they deleted it and then remanipulated your individual master file. So there is a tracking mechanism to show when somebody goes in, manipulates, creates, deletes, and restores. And this is what the documentation is that I've showed you, that they've created these 1040As and then deleted them. So the DOJ is saying, well, they don't exist. Well, here's the thing. We've got the FOIA information to prove through Mr. Howe's MDESA file, which is what you're showing, that yes, in fact, they did exist. And it's not a tax dispute. It's really fraud under the, it's data fraud, cybercrime, if you will, under color of law. And so we're demanding full and complete transparency. We're demanding a pause on any seizure and a full accounting now, because this isn't just about taxes. It's about the government falsifying government data, and that's being used to seize a home. I mean, look at what's going on in North Carolina, the federal land grabs, right? FEMA coming in and arbitrarily just changing the floodplains because, oh, I don't know, there's gold and lithium and quartz in them dar hills. And, you know, this is what we see over and over again, the BLM, what Pete Santilli was with, you know, with the Bundy family and the Finicums. I mean, this is constant, right? Bundys and, you know, the Branch Davidians. It just goes on and on. This doesn't end.
Well, it seems like they love to go after the rugged individualist types. They like to single them out and go, oh, we can't have these people walking around here. But what I'm amazed is that they could create a debit, I guess, that you owe. You owe this money. And then they erase the documentation that says you owe that. But the debit still stays there. It stays in your master account of you still owe this. And then they do it again the next year. And then they do it again the next year. And they just keep building this up. And then you're like, all of a sudden, you got 5 years worth of debts that you've supposedly accrued according to the IRS, but you've never filled out any paperwork. You've never sent any paperwork in.
That's right. And here's where it gets bizarre. The Department of Justice, when they, you know, challenged this in court, admitted they had no signed 1040As for the dates the IRS claims, which is basically the heart of the case. They have nothing. Well, of course they don't, because you can go back and look in the MDESA file and follow where they created and deleted these documents. So again, Mr. Ellis and Mr. Howe have sent a complaint in October of last year to the Inspector General for Taxation Administration. It's called TICTA. There's a case that's outstanding. It's case number TRN 2410-0364. And you know, they refuse to answer the questions. They don't want to give us any information. And we need to ask them. And I want people to call Trevor Nelson. He's the acting deputy inspector general of TICTA. We want to know, why is TICTA protecting their employees, Marler and Clark, right? The revenue officer and their attorney, from any accountability, while this man, Mr. Howe's home, is on the line. I mean, we need a remedy for this now. We need to pause the reliance on these tainted transcripts, and we need to get back to the basics, and we need to hold these people accountable, because the evidence is in, and they simply can't fight it. They're just trying to hide behind legal fiction and jargon, saying, oh, we're going to expose our sources and methods. Well, really, your sources and methods are corruption, cybercrime, and theft of the American people.
And never being able to admit you're wrong. The government hates to admit it's wrong. They can't do it. It's just not in their blood. They're always right, and they will always think they're right. I'm looking at Exhibit E on the third page. And, I mean, so on line 170, penalty for not prepaying tax, $1,400. Then a penalty for not filing tax return after the due date. Oh, just $17,000. Then additional tax assessed upon examination. Oh, here's another $75,000. Then a penalty, interest for late payment. Oh, another $14,000. Then penalty for late payment of tax, another $19,000. So they're just racking up these charges over and over and over again. And then when you, I guess, you know, you go to open your mail and you're like, hey, we're coming to seize your home. Look out.
Right.
And
that's,
I mean,
right.
you gotta admit he's been blindsided by this. But this is amazing what's going on. And then the fact that they're able, is there a law that allows them to make these fake? Is there anything that they're justifying and saying, hey, we could do it because of this regulation or this statute allows us to make essentially a tax return in your name and file it in your name without you even knowing about it?
No, absolutely not. That's fraud. It's complete fraud. I mean, this is database forgery when an agent can click a few buttons, make your file say you filed returns that you never filed, and then the DOJ waives those pages in court and your property rights are on life support. I mean, seriously, this isn't, Rob, this isn't about whether you owe it. It's about whether the records are real. And the DOJ has already admitted they don't have the signed returns to back the IRS's story. Case closed, stop the seizure.
Yeah, totally.
And there is no law. There's no law that says you have to file a 1040A. Again, the 1040A was designed for people who didn't want to go to, you know, some tax, you know, accountant or whatever, H&R Block. Mm-hmm. It was designed for you to say, hey, IRS, I made $100,000 last year. Just file the paperwork. I have three kids and my deductions or whatever. That's not the case here with Mr. Howe whatsoever. He never filed. He was lawfully not filing since I think it was 2000. And this started, they started creating these fabricated returns in, I think it was 2005.
Wow.
So maybe
so it's years and years and years of this. It's not just.
It's been years in the making. Yeah.
Wow.
It's
since the Bush administration. That's amazing.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. The IRS knows no bounds. The Infernal Revenue Service. They just don't quit. So we're making so much noise with this story, and we appreciate InfoWars carrying it because, again, the American people have been fleeced every which way, six ways to Sunday, as Chuck Schumer likes to say. And we continue to be fleeced. And we get, you know, we get scared. We get really scared when you hear IRS, but they're a paper tiger. And, you know, there's organizations like WeissParis.com, like Freedom Law School, that will take these cases on and they'll go to bat for you. And you don't have to be afraid of these people. They should be, this, first of all, should be dismantled. This should be one of the agencies that goes bye-bye and very quickly because Mr. President Trump with the External Revenue Service is working hard to replace that revenue. If we could only, you know, get rid of them and the Fed, I think we'd be in a whole lot better position today.
Well, and these judges who keep stopping the tariffs and trying to reverse them.
That's right.
Let's go to, okay, so you, and during your promo, you had a phone number that was listed on there. Was that the phone number for a guy at TIGA, the Treasury Inspector General for Tax Administration?
That is the phone number for the Treasury Inspector General at the Tax Administration. Do you need me to pull that up for you?
Let's pull it back up again so people can call in and just voice their opinions. Because, you know, that's one thing about the InfoWars audience. They like to voice their opinions, especially when they see government malfeasance.
Sure. Here's the phone number for Deputy Inspector General Trevor Nelson. It's 202-927-0150. Call him. I would ask, why won't Trevor Nelson investigate a cybercrime inside the IRS? Why won't he investigate it? Why is Trevor Nelson's organization, the TICTA, covering up this case? The case number is TRN 2410-0364. The level of corruption and obfuscation of the truth, Rob, is it's astounding. But again, it's like I feel like this is a broken record. You just go through agency to agency, as you were showing earlier, right? Secretary Kennedy and the abuse by these old, you know, lamp posts in the Senate. Mm-hmm. It's ridiculous. We didn't elect that. We didn't choose that. So we gotta stand up and say, yeah, you guys are screwed. We're not doing this anymore. We just refuse.
I mean, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired about all this. And just to see a case like this, you know, it's just, we're going to literally create the file that we're going to use to go after you. You know, it's not,
that's right.
It's almost like, you know, in the future, they're going to have this pre-crime and whatever. And they'll be like, they'll insert pre-crime and go, well, the pre-crime says you were going to do this. So now we have to come get you. You know, it's that's sort right. of like that weird dystopic pre-crime.
And, you know, and in the same thought of being a pre-crime, you know, some people are going to go, oh, well, isn't this just a tax protest? No, this isn't a tax protest. Look, you're free to donate and opt in to the federal government's nonsense with the IRS. I mean, if you think your money's being put to good use by donating a whatever percent of your salary every week to the IRS, by all means, go for it. But this isn't a tax protest. This isn't policy or politics. It's literally data integrity. And what are we learning? I mean, Doge has uncovered mass data integrity, Data Republican, all the Anons, the people around the world that are digging into this stuff, the InfoWars audience, right? People are getting active and they're opening their eyes, and the government has admitted it because it lacked the signed return. So you can't take a home without printouts that don't tie to real documents. And I, frankly, I want the DOJ to stand up. And I think, you know, we need to leverage TIGDA. We need to call TIGDA and say, hey, we need a status and an estimated time of completion for your investigation into this case where Mr. Marler and Ms. Clark have lied in court and covered up the fact that these documents and these and the databases were all manipulated. And then we have that information, besides getting this delayance right now and this extension in the Ninth Circuit on appeal, we'll also be able to then say, hey, Ninth Circuit, this investigation at TIGTA is ongoing, and you can't make a decision until you get a full accounting. And listen, they have to dig back into their receipts. We have them. We have the receipts to prove they manipulated the file. So the courts need to be a lot more transparent, and they need to get on board with We the People.
And what's the next step in this? We're just waiting. You guys are just waiting for this to get in front of a judge, or is there more investigation that has to happen?
Well, we need. I'm asking for Ed Martin and Pam Bondi. I mean, mm-hmm. Ed Martin over there in the pardon and the weaponization branch. We need him. If Jeanine Pirro wants to get involved, Pam Bondi should be all over this. I mean, this affects every single American. Let's be honest. Who wants to deal with the IRS? They're ridiculous. When your Constitution is a little teeny book like this, and the IRS manual is over 10,000 pages, and maybe it's way more than that by now. I've lost count. But when that's the case of what's running our country, you know, government largesse is obese, and we need the Department of Justice, which seemingly seems to be on the side of We the People. We need them standing up and investigating this on our behalf. We've given all the receipts to Ed Martin's office. Everything you have, Ed Martin has. And we stand at the ready to present even more details. And we want the Ninth Circuit to stand down, because the Ninth Circuit's way out of line. The U.S. Marshals is out of line if they go and seize that house, because they'll be making a seizure based on data that's false and erroneous and, frankly, illegal. And Marler and Clark need to be held to account. They need to be basically put to the – they need to be arrested for what they did. They committed fraud on the American taxpayer.
And Scott Bessent needs to speak out on this. People need to start adding him or tweeting at him on X and getting him to just – you know, hey, do you know what your agents are doing? You're supposed to be in charge of the Internal Revenue Service. They're making up paperwork out of whole cloth.
Amen.
Totally they amazing.
Are. Yeah, yeah. Here we are. This is what, September 5th, 2025?
Yeah.
And we're still dealing with the IRS. It's insane. This should be over. This should be open and shut. The executive branch has got powers. And frankly, I think the American people want them to be exercised. Shut it down.
All right. We have about 3 minutes left. Is anything else you're working on that you want to get out to the audience? I would love to take an
opportunity, if you could pull up our website, AmericanMadeFoundation.org. There's a trailer that you can play. I think it comes up on mute. But this is our documentary, as I mentioned, CPS earlier, Child Protective Services. Mm-hmm. We followed a case, a national story of the Rivera family in Massachusetts. The Department of Children and Families sent the dogs after them, literally 20 state police officers in Texas, to arrest them when they were in Texas because they would not give their 9-month-old a vitamin K shot. And Department of Children and Families thought that was egregious. And so they've, you know, took the children. They're still in foster care at the moment. The parents are in a real state. But our documentary details this, and it premieres this Sunday in Boston. We're doing a series of red carpets on Taken, state-sanctioned kidnapping. You can buy tickets online at AmericanMadeFoundation.org. We'll also be featuring it on our website as well if you can't make it to the theater in Boston. So I appreciate the opportunity to mention that. Thanks, Rob.
Okay, we're going to actually play your trailer at the start of the next hour. I'll play it on the other side of this hour. I'll play because we come back in about 5 minutes. We got a 3-minute break or 4-minute break, and we got about 2 minutes left here. So we'll play that coming out. So we want to play the whole trailer because this, you know, CPS coming after people who don't want to vaccinate their kids. And, you know, the vitamin K shots, what they want to give you like an hour after you're born. I don't think people even know this. I still have the little ampule that they tried to put in my oldest son. And it says on there, oh, wow. Oh, it's got a little bit of alcohol in it, a little bit of aluminum. But no big deal, just a little bit. You know, that's what we got to put in the babies. You know, baby's first shot is what I call it, is literally a shot of alcohol that they want to inject in their bloodstream.
It's maddening when you think about it. And no one ever talks. I mean, Secretary Kennedy is talking about it, but the cumulative effects of aluminum mm-hmm. and alcohol and mercury and all the other adjuvants, they call it adjuvants, that friendly word, nobody knows what it means, but all the cumulative effects of that. And then you compound it with what's going on in our skies over our head. They're putting the same things up there that they're putting in the needles in our bodies. You know, Rob, I vaccinated my kids the childhood vaccine schedule because I didn't know better back then. If I knew then what I know now, like hell would I ever put a needle in my child's arm. God gave us a beautiful immune system. We keep trashing it with shots. Why? Why do we keep doing
it? Because
this?
We think we're God. I think some people think they're God. People like Fauci, Bill Gates, they think they are in control of human destiny. And yeah. It's totally amazing. Ann, thanks for joining us. We're going to play your trailer on the other side of the break. She's the host of Steel News and Right Now with Ann Vandersteel. Man, that, keep us updated on this this IRS thing, because this is just crazy. Mr. Howe, God bless him. Hopefully he can beat this. And then there's some accountability with the government thieves out there that think they can just create data out of whole cloth and then steal your property.
Thanks, Rob.
Mm-hmm. We'll be right back after this. Welcome back to the War Room, and we're going to play that trailer to Taken. It's going to premiere this weekend. That's the movie Ann Vandersteel's working on about CPS, you know, government infringing on your basic liberties, essentially. That's what's going on. You know, you don't want to give your kid the vitamin K shot, which is probably the weakest of all the vaccines they try to give you. But what's in that vitamin K shot? It's got aluminum. It's got alcohol in it. You know, if you give your baby a shot of vodka in the hospital, well, they'll put you in jail. But we're going to inject alcohol into their bloodstream and say it's safe and effective. So let's play that, and then we'll come back. We're going to get into the some economic news. Here we go.
WRKO, Jeff Cooner, Boston's bulldozer. There is going to be a rally to reunite the Rivera family. Let's get the Riveras back together again. They deserve to have custody of their children.
I just got out from the jail right now, and because of losing everything in this situation, because of DCF and I guess all the parties involved, I've been living in my car while supporting my family from a distance.
Maureen Steele and I, with American Made Foundation, landed here in Marblehead, Massachusetts, where our American Navy was established hundreds of years ago. Boston, where the Tea Party erupted into a spirited battle called the American Revolution, a fight for our independence. And yet today, are we really free? Does the state have control of your assets, namely your children? Well, we are back again in Massachusetts because the fight continues on for sovereignty. And we're taking a deep look into Child Protective Services and the organization run by the state of Massachusetts known as the Department of Children and Families.
CPS took them from me, jailed me and my wife.
Each state has its own, what I like to call, a snitch hotline.
CPS, they're all in cahoots, and we're taking these kids.
Meet Zale Rivera, called Izzy by those who know him. He is a devoted father from Fitchburg, Massachusetts, who now stands at the center of a storm involving the state's Department of Children and Families. In early 2025, Izzy and his partner Ruth Encarnacion faced allegations of medical neglect after choosing not to vaccinate their nine-month-old.
The vitamin K shot is what they give a newborn baby.
I then said to him, okay, well, I don't want to vaccinate my child again. He said, well, I'm a mandated reporter and I have concerns of medical neglect because you're not vaccinating your son. And he said, well, there is no law, but I am concerned. Then we're going to have to file a 51A report.
The agency takes a look at these things and decides which cases to investigate and which ones not to. Well, then we get to the second problem, and the problem is a very low standard of proof. It's called a reasonable cause to believe that a child is abused or neglected. What's that mean? Nobody knows.
Or in our state, they call them DCF agent. Just showed up to our door knocking and just left a notice on the door. And then I read the notice that they wanted to see our children. And that's how I found out.
So now they want to see all of your children, even though there was just a nine-month-old who you refused a vitamin K vaccine.
In any two-parent family, intact family, that divide and conquer is one of their favorite tactics. They seize on one of the parents and say, okay, we're going to make you bow, we're going to make you obey, and you're going to have to reject the other parent. And they will indeed take the children, eliminate visits, and as you pointed out, most of these visits are an hour a week for your children to get to see them. Who can maintain a relationship over a year or 2 years with children seeing them an hour a week?
And how many officers show up with the CPS worker, DC?
It was, I would say, maybe around I'm not sure the exact number because we hid because it was just such a traumatizing experience, but enough to surround the entire house. So I would say 6 to 10.
Oh my gosh.
Police cars blocking the roads. And
okay, yeah. So you're being dealt with like you're a criminal.
This is not just a story of the Rivera family. This is an American-made foundation investigation into a billion-dollar system built on broken families. From Massachusetts to every corner of the country, Child Protective Services has morphed into a business, one that profits off the seizure, trafficking, and long-term separation of children from loving homes.
All of this started here in Mass. What was once the cradle of liberty has now become a communistic state. This is the reckoning, and the rising is now. Join us. Please go to American Made Action. There are always actionable items on there that you can take immediately. It is going to take all of us to push back on a rogue government, rogue agencies, and rogue judges.
Join us again, AmericanMadeAction.org and at AmericanMadeFoundation.org. Thank you for watching.
So when you bring yourself into the system, that's when you open yourself up. And if you're not aware of your rights and if you're not aware of their intentions, they can come after you. So there's the premiere. Bring that back up, guys. It's going to be on the 7th at 6 p.m. at the Legacy Theater in Boston. And you could go check out their website. And check it out if you're in the Boston area, because I guess this is happening in Massachusetts. So it's a good thing they're going on location there. So best of luck to that family. We've interviewed many people having their kids taken by CPS, and they'll give out comments like the CPS worker will be like, oh, you have beautiful children. You have beautiful children. Pretty creepy, huh? And then you find out that the whole CPS system and the foster care system is just ripe with sexual abuse and just regular abuse of these poor kids who, you know, are basically looking for their mom and dad. And, you know, there might be some cases where that needs to happen, where kids need to be pulled from their families. But I think it's very few and far between. But when you set up an incentive system to take children, that's what you're going to get. You're going to get more children taken, and you're going to get it a whole system, because people get paid to keep these kids. So they'll have 20 kids at their house and they're getting paid for each one, but they got them all crammed in and are feeding them crap. But they don't get investigated. No, no, no. It's the parents that are bad. So just be aware, when you go to that hospital to have a kid, they're looking for you to do anything, looking for you to talk back if you do anything. So don't do it. We've got a clip from Trump. I guess they were talking about vaccine mandates. He's still taking questions right now in his press conference. And we'll pop in and listen to a little bit of that. Here's the question on vaccine mandates.
Question: the vaccine mandates that were rolled back for school children. What do you think about that?
I think we have to be very careful. Look, you have some vaccines that are so amazing. The polio vaccine, I happen to think, is amazing. A lot of people think that COVID is amazing. You know, there are many people that believe strongly in that. But you have some vaccines that are so incredible. And I think you have to be very careful when you say that some people don't have to be vaccinated. It's a very, you know, it's a very tough position. I'd give you an answer. I'll give you a feeling. But just initially, I heard about it yesterday, and it's a tough stance. Look, you have vaccines that work. They just pure and simple work. They're not controversial at all. And I think those vaccines should be used. Otherwise, some people are going to catch it and they endanger other people. And when you don't have controversy at all, I think people should take it.
No. Okay? Well, I think the let's pause it right here. I think the polio vaccine did have some problems with it. I've played videos before of Dr. Maurice Hilleman talking about how they found the SV40 virus from the green monkey kidney cells that they were growing the polio virus on, and that DNA was getting in there and from the monkey kidney cells and had SV40 on it, and that was giving people cancer. Oh, coincidentally enough, the same SV40 is now being found in Pfizer and Moderna vaccines. Wow, who'd have thought? Who'd have thought they would be using the same medium and culture to grow these cells on that's giving people cancer? And there's a study from The Lancet, Conventional Epidemiology and the Link Between SV40 and Human Cancers. It was in the polio shot. They think tens of millions of people in the 50s before they pulled it out were getting cancer. And so you have a cancer epidemic that starts in the late 70s going into the 80s and 90s. And now it's picking back up again. We're seeing cancers going back up again. Why? Oh, we don't know. We don't know why all these young people are getting butt cancer and lung cancer. And we have no idea. I think they call it colorectal cancer. It's not butt cancer. But they're getting all these cancers. And the system's like, well, we don't know. We have no idea. What happened since 2021 to give all these people turbo cancer? We don't know. Oh, we can't call it turbo cancer. That doesn't exist. Yet these people are showing up with stage four cancers in just a couple months. So, all right, let's go back to Trump.
One more follow-up on your comments on the taxes. On the upcoming tax bill, are you discussing, do you want that new tax bill to eliminate inflation from calculating capital?
When you say the upcoming tax bill, because when you have an upcoming, we just passed the biggest tax cut in the history of our country, so there's nothing upcoming. There's something that we just passed. So we passed the biggest tax cut in the history of our country for the middle class, for the worker. And that's the only bill that we're really talking about. We did a good job. It's very comprehensive. And I will say the Democrats, if you gave them every point that they wanted, every point that they've dreamt of all their lives, you wouldn't get one Democrat vote. They really are. They've become deranged, sick. It's crazy. If you gave them a list of the top 10 things that the Democrats wanted and you put them in a bill to get passed, you wouldn't get one vote. It's the only thing they have. They stick together, but they're dying. I mean, they're down to 16% approval rating, the lowest rating in history for either party. And we have the highest rating we've ever had. The Republicans have the highest rating we've ever had.
On the National Guard, have you decided which city that you want to go into next?
Yeah, I have. I have. I'm not going to say it now, but yeah, I have. We're going to go into another place and straighten it out. And I will say this. I watched today. I didn't know that was continuing to go on. But Portland is unbelievable what's going on in Portland. Destruction of the city.
Are you going into Portland?
Well, I'm going to look at it now because I didn't know that was still going on. This has been going on for years. So we'll be able to stop that very easily. We'll be able to stop. But, you know, that was not on my list.
But a lot of people think the National Guard is going to be going to Chicago. It could be Baltimore. He said he's going to talk about it later. I got a couple articles, one from John Solomon, just the news. House will not extend Trump's 30-day D.C. police takeover. But National Guard, D.C. National Guard extends deployment through November as home rule dispute escalates. So the National Guard is going to stay on until November 30th to ensure public safety, to get you through the Thanksgiving season. But Trump will no longer be taking over the Metropolitan Police Department in D.C., the MPD. So, but Mariel Bowser seems to be happy with what Trump did. She's like, yeah, we're going to work with the government now because, you know, all it takes is a little bit of willpower and getting rid of some of these Soros DAs. That's all it takes. All right, let's get into some economy news. We had a jobs report come out. It said 22,000 jobs were added in August as unemployment nears a four-year high. And the unemployment rate, they say, rose from 4.2 to 4.3%. I say they say because what they're looking at and the way they get these, they send out surveys to big corporations, and the corporations don't always send them back. So if they don't send them back, they don't know how many jobs were added. So I think you're probably looking at a number that's probably going to be twice as much by the time they look at it again, which isn't that much. 22,000 is not a lot of jobs, but I think it's going to be a lot higher once they come through it. Here's a Representative Randy Fine talking with CNN about the data that is out there, because we know the data is incomplete, and it's not necessarily the people. It's these companies that aren't submitting the data when they're asked for it, because that's how the whole system works. But here's that report.
We are going to have a big jobs report coming out, the August jobs report, in a little over, who knows what time it is anymore. It's 1 million o'clock on CNN News Central. It will be coming out shortly, and we will bring it to everyone. When it does, are you going to believe the numbers?
I'm gonna look at the numbers. Look, the people who put these numbers together are human and they're fallible and they make mistakes. And if you go back and you look how these numbers always
get put out,
it
wasn't that they make mistakes. It wasn't that they make mistakes. The reason that the president kicked out the commissioner of Bureau of Labor Statistics was he said that they were faking it. They were cooking the books, which there's no evidence of that. So do you think?
When the numbers are always wrong in one direction, you have reason to be suspect. And so
there's no
I understand
evidence
that.
Of that.
What I can tell
it's when
you
more,
is
it's when more of the businesses respond and give the information and submit and respond to the ask from the Labor Department, then they can adjust what they have. It's like I get more information, we can adjust the numbers. That's been happening from the beginning of time. Yes, there has been more variable. That's for a lot of reasons, which they say fewer businesses are actually responding to these surveys, but that doesn't mean they're cooking the books.
Well, I think that when there's problems with methodology, sometimes it's intentional, sometimes it's not. But when the numbers are always wrong in one direction, there's reason to have. I think the methodologies were problematic, and we see this in all kinds of things where numbers always tend to benefit the left, and when the facts come out, they don't anymore. And so I think the president did the right thing there, and we'll see what these numbers are like today. What I will tell you is I did 81 visits in my district over the August recess, mm-hmm. met with manufacturers of all types, and they're very optimistic about the Trump economy. It was extraordinary. I met with boat builders and fishermen and all kinds of different companies, and they're very optimistic about where we are right now.
It was declared that this is the Trump economy officially, though it took a moment. He still said it was the Biden economy for a bit. So we'll see what the Trump economy is starting to look like now. Congressman Randy.
So from the Washington Post, of course, weak summer labor market flashes warning signs for the economy. And Trump wanted, there's some numbers that came out, I think, in March, and Trump wanted them to come out earlier. Or they maybe they came out in April, but he wanted them to come out in March because that's when the Fed was meeting. And he wanted to show the numbers that weren't that good. So then the Fed would lower the interest rate so he could refinance the debt, which is, I think, the big thing on his mind when it comes to the economy. But here he put out a truth. As president of the United States, I will stand up to countries that attack our incredible American tech companies. Digital taxes, digital services legislation, and digital markets regulations are all designed to harm or discriminate against American technology. They are also outrageously give a complete pass to China's largest tech companies. This must end and end now. With this truth, I put all countries with digital taxes, legislation, rules, or regulations on notice that unless these discriminatory actions are removed, I, as President of the United States, will impose substantial additional tariffs to the country's exports to the USA and institute export restrictions on our highly protected technology and chips. America and American technology companies are neither the piggy bank nor the doormat of the world any longer. Show respect to America and our amazing tech companies or consider the consequences. Thank you for your attention to this matter. And Trump made he put out a truth a few days ago talking about Russia, India, and China saying, oh, I guess they're all going to go together. I wish them well. So there's some trade talks coming up with India soon. Here's Howard Lutnick, Secretary of Commerce, talking about, I guess, how Trump is going to negotiate these and how he kind of talk about how he did it with Canada. He's going to take the same approach, or we saw what happened with Canada. They were talking tough, and then they backed down. So here it is.
Putin and Prime Minister Modi seem to indicate a coalescing of the BRICS. Do you see anywhere in the next month, 2 months, any type of deal or backing down to a lower rate with India?
I would expect, like you saw it in Canada, right? The Carney got elected with this term elbows up, meaning let's fight with America. They put on retaliatory tariffs. They were all bravado. And what happened? Their GDP negative 1.6%, unemployment rocketing towards 8%. And what did Carney just do? He just finally dropped his retaliatory tariffs. So I think what happens is it's all bravado because you think it feels good to fight with the biggest client in the world. But eventually, your businesses are going to say, you've got to stop this and go make your deal with America. So I think, yes, in a month or 2 months, I think India is going to be at the table and they're going to say they're sorry and they're going to try to make a deal with Donald Trump. And it will be on Donald Trump's desk how he wants to deal with Modi. And we leave that to him. That's why he's the president.
Speaking of making it.
And if you look at Infowars.com, just came out about an hour ago, a couple hours ago, report Trump mulls banning American IT firms from outsourcing work to India. Well, he's not necessarily going to ban it, but he's definitely going to put a tariff on it, it looks like. This change could devastate the Indian IT sector and cost India millions of jobs. And this is basically according to social media posts. We haven't heard anything official yet from the White House, but Nick Sorter says huge. President Trump is considering banning American IT firms from outsourcing their work per India, per multiple reports. Trump senior counselor for trade manufacturing, Peter Navarro, retweeted an ex post from Jack Posobiec saying tariff foreign remote workers, all outsourcing should be tariffed, suggesting he agrees with the proposal. That was Jack Posobiec put that out. And so this is really causing concern amongst, you know, the globalists out there. They don't know what to do. So Aaron Burnett's kind of melting down on CNN talking about this. Here she is. Jack Posobiec posted this post. He's melting down, calling to limit visas from India and tariff call centers. That's what Jack wants to do. Here it is.
From India to the U.S., MAGA on a tear after Indian Prime Minister Modi held hands with Putin earlier this week and then spent 2 hours with him alone in a limo. Modi's signaling that he's choosing Putin over Trump. And that was the signal for sure. Trump's been threatening sanctions on India for buying Russian oil, and all that's been going down. And then Modi goes and spends 2 hours in a limo with Putin. You get the message. Well, MAGA influencer Charlie Kirk posted, quote, America does not need more visas for people from India. Perhaps no form of legal immigration has so displaced American workers as those from India. Enough already. We're full. Let's finally put our own people first. And Jack Posobiec responding to a Trump post on India with this post saying, quote, tariff the call centers, all of them. But if MAGA voices are outraged by Modi's embrace of Putin, well, then they should be equally outraged by Trump's embrace of Putin. Trump literally rolled out the red carpet for Putin just weeks ago in Alaska, right? On that summit, Trump invited Putin to join him in his limo for their own private ride together before the meeting. And after standing side by side with Putin after the summit, Trump gushed about Putin. Watch this.
There's a warmth there that you can't, you know, there's a decent feeling. That's a good thing, not a bad thing.
But now MAGA is going after India. Okay. The question is, though, is there...
Thank you for calling. I love how they compare looking at the visa policy, the HB1 visa policy that allows Indians to come here, cram 15 into an apartment and work for basically nothing and taking away American jobs, to how Trump had talks with Putin to end a war. You see how the disconnect at CNN? People are moronic, totally moronic. Last video here, this is from in California, Santa Monica Place, two blocks from the ocean, 70% vacancy. And this is from Wall Street Apes. And one of the most popular tourist destinations in the country, Santa Monica is so screwed. So this is a, I don't know if this is a TikTok video or what, but it was put out by Wall Street Apes. Here it is.
Santa Monica is so screwed. This Nordstrom's is closing, which means this is about to be an entire dead block, putting Santa Monica Place at 70% vacancy. Even Sephora is closing. And I don't even know what the fuck this place does, but I know that it's money. At least we have this weird fucking robot to take whatever jobs survive. This is one of the most popular tourist destinations in the country, but it's more profitable to have your place empty than have people in it. So until the government does something, this place is just going to keep going downhill.
There you go. So that's a real boots on the ground look at what's going on in California, as Gavin Newsom is, you know, happy that corporations are leaving, tells him to get out. I think it was Bed Bath & Beyond. He's like, see you later, suckers. You know, and that's, hey, California, that's what you voted for, I guess, right? With all your mail-in ballots. I mean, that's what you want, right? You want 70% of vacancies in some of these these tourist destinations. You want homeless everywhere. You want fires. You want no water. I guess that's what you voted for, right? You want billions upon billions to be spent on a fake railroad that's probably never going to be built. That's what you voted for, right? Well, you better start changing things. You better start waking some people up, because your country, the sixth largest economy in the world, is a total shit hole. We'll be right back. Christy Lee's going to join me here in the studio, and we've got a whole bunch more to cover because it's never ending here in the InfoWar. Thank you for joining us. You're watching The War Room. And I am am no longer alone in this cold, cold studio.
I wore socks and knee-high boots just for this studio today.
Now, because I was told yesterday I had to wear a suit.
Is that why you're wearing knee-high boots?
Yeah, exactly. Well, I was told wear a suit and a shirt with a collar. I'm like, all right, fine. I got this sent to me from our former Jib guy. He sent a logo, a proposed logo for the city of Austin. You like this logo or pullback, guys? Let's show what they spent $1 million on. Oh, look, there's the $1 million logo, $1.1 million at the city of Austin.
Why are the most expensive logos always so boring?
That is the
crappiest
logo.
I mean, I don't know how much they spent on the Cracker Barrel logo that died.
Oh, right.
But yeah. It was so instantly, obviously boring.
Totally boring.
And this, I should have that job. Like, I can make a bunch of money just to, like, type
there's
up
no bend
words.
In the river going through Austin that looks like that. That's not a representation of reality. So I don't know how they got off doing that, but I guess somebody got off. Somebody got off with $1 million.
Yeah. That melts.
We need you to make a logo.
Terrible logos like that.
Yeah. And there it is. So that's the city of Austin. I like the one with the InfoWars battle wagon.
Of course, it's much more exciting.
Yeah, definitely changing things. So let's get into it. I've got, I've gone through most of my videos, but I have the whole disturbing section we're going to get to.
I feel like I need a booster seat.
Yeah. You're feeling short?
Feeling short. Oh, well.
I've got, Biden judge blocks Trump from cutting billions in US aid and foreign aid. So once again, we have more district judges. This is Judge Amir Ali. Sounds like a nice conservative man. A Biden appointee blocked President Trump from cutting billions of dollars from USAID and foreign aid that Congress authorized. Trump will immediately appeal the judge's ruling. Can he get anything done with all these judges?
No, but, you know, we did kind of gloss over the fact that he did do a pocket rescissions package because they were saying, like, oh, there is this way that we can cut a bunch of money and it's this thing that hasn't been used for like 50 years.
Since the 70s, yeah.
Yeah, and so then they do it, but then it was, you didn't really hear much about it. But then I think it was only about $5 billion. It's really sad that we have to say only before $5 billion. But when you're talking monopoly money, that is federal money, they should have. I mean, and that's the thing. A lot of these politicians were saying, because I believe it was like the big beautiful bill or some one of the bills saved like $9 billion. And then they're like, oh, the pocket rescissions are going to be way more than that. And then you get like a measly $5
billion. $5 billion. I think there's going to be more. What they had to do, I think, was prove a proof of concept. You know, so you don't want to put all the billions that you have in the first thing that you're going to try to submit, because you want to see what the enemy's going to do.
Yeah.
So it's like you send a probe out and see how the enemy attacks the probe. And then you go, okay, they're going to do this, or they're not going to do anything, or it's going to meet a court challenge. And we're going to go fight the court challenge. And then once that's figured out, then we have a decision that then we can base on going forward. Because, you know, if people don't understand, you know, basics of warfare, you don't just send everybody out all at once. You go, where are they weakest? Or if you don't know where the enemy is, you send something out, a scouting, you know, patrol to see where the enemy is. And then then you go in and attack.
Test the waters.
You got to test the waters.
Or the fake bend in the Austin.
Yeah, the fake bend in the Austin A. That's what we got now. Totally ridiculous. So do you want to start with a video you got? We got about 44 seconds.
We're not long enough.
I'm not going to give you any time to go to anything. No, when we get back, we got a whole hour with Christy Lee. I'm going to cover I call it government malfeasance news. And, you know, Lisa Cook, got a Lisa Cook update from Bill Pulte. The Trump administration rescuing 22,000 migrant children. British Prime Minister resigns over tax evasion scandal. Plus, I've got some. Maybe we come back and I just shock you with this first video, from my disturbing collection.
Ooh, I like this.
Because it's pretty disturbing. Maybe we'll come back and do that. Stay tuned. You're watching The War Room at Infowars.com and Infowars.com/show. Welcome back to The War Room. I'm your host, Rob Dew. Guys, we're going to go to clip 24. This is probably one of the most disturbing things I've seen in the fast food world, just when you think it couldn't get any crazier. Guys, it's a real quick video, so just put it on loop, and we'll just watch it and be amazed. Here it is. Look at that.
Oh, Lord.
What is that?
A pregnant
Pregnant Ronald McDonald.
Ronald McDonald. We have to be inclusive.
Ronald McDonald. That's how far we've gone now. Now we have pregnant Ronald McDonald. Now, is it a female? I can't tell if those are breasts up there or if that's just, you know, man boobs on Ronald.
Well, I mean, Ronald McDonald would realistically have man boobs from the McDonald's menu. So
there's a group of ladies who call Trump McTaco tits. That's what they call him.
I mean, it's kind of funny.
It is kind of funny. But pregnant Ronald McDonald, do we call her Rhonda McDonald now?
I mean, yeah.
What has she changed her name? Is she going to go trans and start shooting people?
We're probably supposed to be calling Ronnie Mickety a they.
Yeah, and what would Grimace be? I mean, is Grimace the dad or the mom or the thing? I don't know. And they just came out and said Grimace is a taste bud. I'm like, that's a scary looking taste bud.
So we don't know anything about like where this was spotted.
I have no idea. It was just a tweet somebody put out. It's one of those things that you have no context.
Yeah.
It's just you see pregnant Ronald McDonald.
Scarring children everywhere.
But Michael S. Kalura says, just programming to normalize all of the above. McDonald's is now officially pregnant. Where does it stop? I don't know. Where does it stop? I mean, maybe Ronald, but pregnant Ronald McDonald. I mean, where do you, really? That's what we're doing now. We're going to show, we got a man who's now getting pregnant. Because men, I guess, can get pregnant, right?
I mean, it could be just he ate too many burgers, and maybe we're the ones reading too much into it.
Oh, that could be. Maybe he's just stuffed.
I mean, having a food baby is a real thing. We all have had a food baby at one point or another, right? So maybe it's just a food baby.
And Grimace is just there for moral support. Maybe we're reading too much into it. That, I don't know. That looks like that looks like they've turned Ronald McDonald into
right.
a woman. That looks
Definitely.
Like a dress.
Yeah.
That looks like a tummy, and Grimace is the proud father. It's completely disturbing. I don't know where this country's going, but this aggression will not stand, man.
Yes. What a world. What a world.
We'll get into more of those, I think. I have a couple more that I think are not quite as disturbing as pregnant Ronald McDonald, but we'll get into more of that. Bill Pulte came out today and was talking on Squawk Box. This is, I think, a 5-minute clip. We won't play the whole thing, but just start it. And he kind of goes into what Lisa Cook, the Fed.
Lisa Cook is cooked.
Yeah. She's creating lots of mortgages as her primary residence. So I don't know how you do that. I don't know how you have more than one primary residence, but she's doing it. But it was a clerical error.
Of course.
It's always a clerical error.
Always
in her favor. Kind of like the employment numbers and the economic numbers always seem to be in the left's favor. Oh, that will be clip number 18. Bill Pulte, Lisa Cook crimes. Here we go.
It's raising an eyebrow. How did you respond to that?
Well, first, let me say this, and I'll get into your question in a second. I've never seen people support crime like this. This is insane. Alleged crime. Let's call it that. What she did was wrong. The fact that she hasn't come out and said, hey, these aren't my documents, or some rational explanation for this alleged crime, why is she not doing it? Doesn't make any sense. So I think most Americans, and you see this, Joe, on Twitter and otherwise, unless you're really well connected with the Fed or part of the elite class or, frankly, a news reporter, you look at this
children.
And you say, what the hell is going on at the Fed? To get to your point around independence, I don't believe for the last 4 years that the Fed has been independent. You see that even right now. You've got Lisa Cook, who's being represented by Norm Eisen. Norm Eisen is like the guy who tried to take down Trump, failed at it, but led the first impeachment. He's the lawyer for Lisa Cook. This is a raging Democrat. Then on top of it, you've got Jerome Powell, who's sitting silent, okay?
But, Bill, I think what they're saying, it seems unusual. I don't think your primary role at what you're doing now is to seek out and find mortgage fraud.
That's completely false. My job, and I swore an oath before the Senate and otherwise that I would root out mortgage fraud and that I would ensure that there's safety and soundness in the mortgage market.
Joe, I got to finish. Okay.
All right, I got to finish. In 2008, the Housing and Economic Recovery Act was passed and gave enormous authority to this position in which I sit. It didn't happen by accident. There was a housing crash. a big part of the reason that there was a housing crash was because people were buying mortgages and engaging in mortgage fraud. So I'm not going to be intimidated from pursuing mortgage fraud just because somebody has the special title of being a Fed governor. This is my job, to ensure the safety and soundness of the mortgage market. It doesn't matter whether you're a Republican or Democrat.
All right, we can pull out of
governor.
That. I mean, there it is right there. You know, I've told people I was going to go after mortgage fraud. This guy, the newscaster's like trying to say, are you sure? Like, is this your job? Is your job supposed to be looking at mortgage fraud? He's like, listen, I told the people in my confirmation hearing that this is what I was going to go after, because this is what led to the 2008 financial crisis. People were getting loans when they didn't deserve them. They were doing all kinds of other things to it and manipulating, you know. And here's the other thing that happened on the, I guess, at the aftermath of that. Then they started allowing, you know, BlackRock and Blackstone and these giant multinational hedge funds to go in and buy single family houses.
Yeah.
Now they basically, in the last 5 years, have killed the housing market because they're just driving everybody into bankruptcy.
Yeah. I was trying to just find it because it was laughable. The legacy media, of course, was running articles about how common these errors are. I mean, it's just so obvious when they do these things. But I think it's also important, as Bill Pulte was alluding to, the position this woman was in. Okay, it's one thing if there's other even politicians that have accidentally done that. I mean, of course, like Adam Schiff is somebody else that they're looking at.
She's supposedly an expert.
Yeah,
she's billed as an expert.
She's the one that's supposed to be overseeing that these kinds of things don't happen.
Right.
And for somebody that is part of setting interest rates, for her to make sure that she gets the very best, like an unheard of low interest rate, is such a slap in the face to all Americans. And so she should be held accountable for it.
Because right now they're about, if you have really good credit, you can probably get 6.5%. Maybe a little lower.
It just dropped down to 6.7.
Yeah.
From a high of 7.9.
7.1, 7.2, something like that.
7.09 or something. Yeah. Something along those lines. Either way, it's still high. And here we have Adam Schiff, who had two different residents at 3%. 3%. I wasn't cook around that, too.
Mm-hmm.
And who else is the other? Oh, Letitia James. Let's not forget about Letitia James.
Married her father.
And that was ridiculous because she was trying to set up Trump to be guilty of real estate crimes. And here she is with multiple primary residents. It's just like they obviously thought that they were never going to get caught. They obviously thought that Trump was never going to be able to get in. And so they're like, well, what are our misdeeds? What's the evil that we're doing? Maybe we can pin that on President Trump. That's what it seems to be their playbook. Like, what are we doing wrong? Let's see if we can frame him for doing what we do. It's always how it seems to go.
Yeah, exactly. There's a Dutch saying that says, I am what I say you are, is essentially what it
ironically, I've been watching more and more clips, obviously, of that RFK Jr. hearing, and there was a politician in there that was saying, like, you're just blaming me or what you're like. It was projection times three, because it's like, no, he's the only one making sense. And I did something this morning that I rarely do, and was watching CNN headlines, and it was made me want to throw up, because obviously you have covered the hearing. I was covering the hearing extensively, and we were playing the full clips. We were playing the fact that they were attacking RFK Jr. And then we were playing his, you know, the full clips, his response.
Mm-hmm.
Literally, the whole segment was just them attacking him. And then they would cut it off right before.
Or he would just be looking, waiting to talk. And it's he has nothing to say.
I mean, I don't know why it still blows my mind, but it still blows my mind that they have an entire segment of only the attacks and none of the rebuttals, so they can say RFK Jr. had a tough day on the Senate hearing.
Tough day for RFK.
Well, yeah, if that's all you're seeing is him being attacked and you don't get to see his responses. There, a lot of people have shared that clip of where he was like saying, I'm here for the schools and the parents and the children. And then he's like, well, he had a great comeback saying, like, I'm here for the truth. I'm here to fix this mess. But they didn't play his response.
You don't know how many people died with COVID? And he's like, nobody knows, because y'all fudged the data.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, all right. Sorry, moving on. The DOJ has sued mayor of Boston, Mayor Wu over immigration policies. She's among the worst sanctuary city offenders. I've got two clips about that. But basically, both of these just center on the types of criminals that ICE is picking up and removing from the community. These are immigrants, and you can see their country of origin. There's some in Boston, and then they went up and did an operation in Connecticut. And I just want people to see, these are the kind of people they're pulling out of your community. It's not paper boys. It's not the guy, you know, working shingling roofs or anything. It's a pretty hardcore criminal.
It's not the Democrat nannies and it's not the toilet cleaners.
All right, let's roll the first. This is clip 19.
Stop attacking our cities to hide your administration's failures. Unlike the Trump administration, Boston follows the law. And Boston will not back down from who we are and what we stand for. Boston will never back down from being a beacon of freedom and a home for everyone.
So the showdown over sanctuary policies comes to a head in Boston, and Democratic Mayor Michelle Wu defies a deadline from Attorney General Pam Bondi to comply with immigration enforcement. Joining us now is Patricia Hyde. She's Boston ICE Acting Field Office Director. It's good to have you here. I'm going to pull up for everybody here. This is call for number one, I believe. The worst offenders released in Boston despite ICE detainers, and you've got some real winners on here from rapists, sexual assaults, drug and weapons charges, battery on a child. Patricia, you have to deal with a lot of bad things. Does Boston have many more of these characters in its midst?
Boston has plenty more of those characters. Unfortunately, this is every day in Boston. The amount of criminals who are unlawfully here, who are released by the city of Boston and the state of Massachusetts, is unprecedented, and it's a public safety crisis.
But see, they're following the law. That's what the mayor just said. We follow the law by releasing criminals back out on the streets.
Don't expect it to make sense.
It's amazing that they could just sit there with a straight face and pretend they care about their citizens. They don't. And then there's people behind them that back that. There are people that are just like, yeah, that's right. We follow the law. You're letting criminals back out on the streets. You're protecting them. You're hiding them. It's disgusting. I mean, you saw it. You saw what they were. Let's go to the second part of that clip. Let's talk about ICE operations in Connecticut, and you get to see some of the fine folks that they're picking up there.
I don't think many people don't realize, and Bill Malusian explained it to me this morning, that your office oversees, it's like a region. It's not just the city of Boston or the state of Massachusetts. And there was a operation in Connecticut, and let me just pull up these four characters. The worst of the worst. We have sexual assault, obscene communication, harassment, drug, cocaine offenses, sexual assault, threatening, sexual assault, breach of police, a lot of sexual assault, obviously. This is all happening in Connecticut, even though Connecticut also has the same type of policies. Are you just scratching the surface here? Is there a lot more to go?
There's a lot more to go. And fortunately for the men and women of ICE, under the leadership of President Trump, Secretary Noem, and Director Lyons, we are giving every tool and every resource we have to make our community safer. And we're not going to stop. We're not going to back down. We're going to be there every time.
So a bunch of Connecticut men, I guess you could say. We had the Maryland man.
Yeah.
These are Connecticut bros. These are just your average everyday rapist. No big deal.
You know, Connecticut men were your drug trafficker arrested for committing the crimes they committed. I mean, it does make you really scratch your head, though, that they're so all in on these things. Is it really that important to their election cheating schemes to keep these numbers around, or the number of seats that they have is filled by the amount of illegals that are kept in the system? Because it just seems like such a losing strategy to always be on the side of crime and violence and people that came here illegally that are raping people. I mean, so many of them are pedophiles, too. Have you noticed that?
Yeah. It's the doctrine of resist we much, which Al Sharpton coined. And basically, whatever Trump is doing, we have to resist it. Trump wants to clean up D.C., we resist it. Trump wants to get fair trade deals, we resist it. Trump wants to stop war, we resist it. Trump wants to deport criminals, we resist it. And these are these aren't even 80-20 issues. These are like 95-5 issues, because the 5% of the people were standing behind the mayor right there. Those are the people that want to keep the criminals around. Mm-hmm. Because I guess they probably, limousine liberals, they probably live in a gated community, and they probably have private security in their area. So they're not worried about their lives.
Well, I mean, this is what they do with the gun argument. Everybody that says that we need to restrict gun ownership are usually people that have private security and mm-hmm. are surrounded by guns. So us peons, we shouldn't be able to defend ourselves and be armed. But they can. I mean, so what do they care about us?
Exactly. I want to go now to this. This is findings from the Department of Education that was looking into the Biden administration weaponizing basically the department against Christians. So these are the findings. They weaponized the policies of targeting Christian higher education. They put some fines on Liberty University, $14 million, and Grand Canyon University, $37.7 million. These are the largest Christian universities in the country. They were targeting the school boards. They were looking at a book ban coordinator role within the education department, investigated school boards for removing age-inappropriate materials. You had to deal with that, right?
Yeah. I mean, it was wild, the denialism. I mean, you remember I had to blow up and print out the pictures of what was found in the libraries, because people are like, that's not actually happening. No, there's not actual dildos. Excuse me having to say it, but I mean, this was actual pictures in these books, and these people like acted like it was conspiracy theory. Like, no, this is the book. Here is the label that shows that it came from my child's library. And I mean, there was more than that. There was gross descriptions of incest and rape that we were finding, and the resistance was appalling from the other parents. All of them masked, of course, so angry that we were saying, you know, maybe we shouldn't have these kinds of books in the library. You know, if you, and that was the other thing, if you deranged parents want your children to have all kinds of freedom to seek out pornography, then, I mean, go do that somewhere else. Go purchase that in your own bookstore. Exactly. You don't need to have it.
But in your house.
Yeah. And the thing is that, remember how I dealt with the police too? It was violating law. I mean, there was all those codes that said that it was a violation of law to have pornography accessible in the school. And I was on the phone and I was going into the police station, showing them the law, and they're like, oh, but it's in a school, so it has to be educational. It's like talking in circles. No.
Real quick, guys, Alex called me while Christy was talking. He wants to shoot a couple videos, so I cannot actually get up and do that. So somebody back there needs to go call Jones and figure out how to make that work, because I can't do it. I'm literally sitting here doing a live show.
I know. I heard him in my ear. Like, what is he saying?
I think he thought you were going to do the whole third hour. And but you know, I'm like, no. I'll do the third hour with you. But let's finish up this. So we just talked about the inappropriate book materials. The end the weaponization policies targeting Christian higher education. So they were going after federal student aid. How they were? I guess they were taking student aid away from kids going to Christian universities, and monitor the freedom of religion infringement in K-12 public schools. And so basically there was just attack after attack by the Biden administration through the Department of Education against Christian universities, because, you know, we don't like Christians. They don't like Christians.
And again, think about the media coverage there as well, because we hear all of this media coverage about how Trump is attacking Harvard and all these liberal universities, and how dare he cut the funding for these already very wealthy colleges that very wealthy people go to. How dare he cut the funding? We don't need it, but how dare you cut it? I mean, it never makes any sense, but there's been a ton of coverage about what a dictator Trump is for trying to take funding from our universities, all because we believe in diversity, equity, and inclusion, and all of these things. So it's a horror when those things are being looked at, but not crickets when we were all dealing with this about how they were infringing on our morality and our Christian rights, in not only in the universities but in our very public schools.
Well, just the right to say, hey, we don't want these books in our school. That's not book burning. That's not book banning. It's just saying not every book is appropriate for kids in middle school.
I mean, why don't we just start stocking them with Maxim and Playboy and everything else?
That's from 2021 exclusive. Cops allow pedo books in schools. Yeah. So you can go watch that on Christy Lee TV on band.video.
Yeah. And then remember that got me a ticket when I went and was reporting in Austin about the Pride Week. And they had the whole manual, the thing they were showing to elementary students in Austin. I mean, there was a guy on the front in his underwear. This was the material. And I was simply showing the material that the teachers were showing to the elementary students for Pride Week, not even a day, but they mean an entire week. And all I was doing was showing what the teachers were showing. And there was like, what, 5 cop cars that came and very, very authoritatively telling me, demanding I get off I wasn't even on school property. I was like just outside of the school. And then because Reese and I had to go and get our car back to drive away, they're like, well, you stepped on the property again. So here's your ticket. You cannot be on these grounds for a year.
Because you're a parent. You're a parent and you care.
And so my husband, when I got home, he put that on the refrigerator for me.
You know, the peak tart of that whole situation was Rainbow Dildo Butt Monkey that was going around trying to teach kids about safe sex or something. I mean, it's just totally wild. I want to go to this last clip before we go to break. This is a shocking admission. Jess Phillips, the Minister of Safeguarding Girls, has now admitted in Parliament that she had prior knowledge of young girls being raped by police officers and grooming gangs. This is in the UK, but we're talking about children here as we go. It's just amazing. So let's play that clip as we go to break.
Horrendous reports about the rapes and assaults that are taking place by South Yorkshire Police. I welcome the decision to involve the NCA and strip away responsibility for those investigations from the force. But would she confirm that the National Inquiry will look at the role of the police, not only in cover-ups, but in the crimes themselves?
Oh, wow.
Absolutely, yeah. The South Yorkshire Police should never have been left to investigate themselves in this matter. And so, yes, it moving over to the NCA is the absolutely right thing to do. But I would be lying if I said that over the years I have not met girls who talk to me about how police were part of the perpetration, not just the cover-up.
Final segment of today's edition of The War Room, brought to you by thealexjonesstore.com, where right now we're having our total war sale, our fundraiser.
Methylene Blue is all the rage. My dad's taking methylene.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Well, as soon as I tell everybody this, I want to hear about that. Right now, for $100, you can get your InfoWars Alex Jones War Bond. And that gives you a promo code for $110 in store credit. So you get $10 for that, plus you get a nice piece of artwork you can stick on your wall or your fridge and say, I fight in the info war, and just let people know where it's at. Also, we have 25% off all apparel. And buy one, get one half off of Atomic Defense, Shilajit gummies, or Shilajit capsules. Shilajit is that kind of substance that comes out of the mountains up in the Himalayas. It's like compressed minerals and earth and plants.
All
and
I can just think of is too legit, like too legit to quit.
Too legit.
She legit. She legit.
I need it. So we have the gummies or the capsules, and Atomic Defense has got a lot of stuff in it. In fact, let me tell people what's in Atomic Defense. It's amazing. It's got garlic. It's got black cumin extract, oregano, cinnamon extract, Irish moss powder, honey powder, biopeparine. Basically, everything you need to...
Can I take one of these? Shilajit?
Yeah, take one. See what you think of it.
See, real and then, product testing.
And then you got to tell us about the methylene blue that your dad's taking. But before that, 40% off all knives and silver coins, including the limited edition Alex Jones signature battle dagger and the Midnight Rider limited edition silver coin. So go to thealexjonesstore.com. What's your thought on the Shilajit gummies?
It's really good.
Yeah.
It's actually really good. It tastes really good. I love gummies because, I mean, I have a lot of supplements that I like to take, and I don't like to take a bunch of pills, so I like to break it up with some gummies.
I'm a pill guy. Give me the pills. You would be. Swallow the pills. And,
give me the
capsules. Candy. Yes, they're capsules. I guess we should say. I was just told they're capsules, not pills.
Get it right. Yes. Okay. So methylene blue, I mean, I honestly don't know that much about it other than my dad's taking it and he's liking it so far. And I know it's really good, or says it's really good for making sure that the other supplements that he's taking are fully effective.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
It's pretty amazing substance. I don't take it every day. I've taken it probably since we got ours, probably like 6 or 7 times, because it does really have an effect on me. It really, and I'm a little like, is this normal? I don't know. It like heightens me up.
What, you go crazy?
I mean, I'm just like, it's a bit of a tingle in your body and you're thinking a lot clearer. I got a little scared. I took a bunch and Chase Geyser like dared me. He's like, take a bunch of good riding. And I had a great ride and my miles per hour was like 12.8. And usually it's about 12.1. Mm. So I was going a lot faster, but I was going so fast. I like had to pull over for about 10 minutes. I was like, whoa, my heart was beating super fast. Mm. I'm like, too much. It's like, I couldn't expend the energy. I had more energy than I can expend. It was just,
you were peeing methylene blue.
Well, yeah, that does happen too.
turned you blue.
So it's an amazing substance, and people should check it out. Do your own research on it. And we had a caller. In fact, we're running an ad of the lady who was talking about how it helped her. She was kind of wheelchair bound with MS, and she's working in her little jewelry store. And she started taking it. She said, "Well, it got me up walking again, and I still have some bad days." But she goes, "There are a lot few and far between compared to where they used to be." And she's helped her with her speech. She said it all. We run the ad. Yeah. So I'm not making these claims. She's making them. It has the effect either me of my heart's beating too fast because I'm riding like a demon or helping people, you know, get up and go along with their life and improve their quality of life. So check them all out. TheAlexJonesStore.com supports everything we do here. And where do you want to go to next? We have 2 videos we're going to go to that you brought.
Yeah, I mean, I was just shocked to see this. So we were talking about how Democrats are soft on crime and they love their criminals
they
and
love
violence.
Them.
Well, what about when law enforcement is weak?
Well, we just saw UK law enforcement grooming girls, raping girls in Yorkshire. And now we're going to go to Canada.
Canada.
Yeah, and this is what the police chief wants you to do. Clip 3, guys, for her clips.
In the unlikely event that you find yourself the victim of a home invasion, we are urging citizens not to take matters into their own hands. While we don't want homeowners to feel powerless, we urge you to call 911 and do everything you can to keep yourself and loved ones safe until police arrive and be the best witness possible. This could mean locking yourself in a room away from the perpetrators, hiding, fleeing the home, but don't engage unless absolutely necessary. But as it stands, we know the best defense for most people is to comply, as you've just heard, a number of safety recommendations.
Can I get you some Tim Hortons coffee as you're emptying out my safe? I guess that was a little Irish.
Was that Canada? Hey, you want to take all of my value? You want to pistol whip me now?
I've got a lot of Canadian silver dollars you can have.
We're going to insult all the Canadians because neither of us can do it. Don't you know? They're the ones that do, don't
no,
you?
No, we right? don't want to put you in a wood chipper.
But can you believe that? Just lock yourself in a room and await your doom. You know, he said the best defense is just to comply. I mean, are you kidding me? I to hear that from a chief, like from the law enforcement people that should be encouraging you to protect yourself. And here he is saying like, best thing, just do whatever and here's the thing. Here's the other angle of that. He is out there saying this publicly.
Yeah.
Okay. So then the criminals are like, sweet. You know, like, let's go cause more crime. Like,
we're compliance criminals. We want you to comply with whatever we're going
to
do.
The chief just said that they all have to listen to us and do whatever we say, and we can take whatever, and they can't do a dang thing to protect themselves.
I think it was Canada. It was either Canada or the UK where they said, you know, keep your car keys close to the door so they can use the spoofers to steal your car. So they don't have to break into your house to steal your car keys. So they have these spoofers that go off the key fobs. And so they could spoof it if it's close enough. But if it's not close, if you keep them inside your house further in, well, they'll break into your house to get that. And we don't want them to break into your house to steal your car. Just let them spoof your car. They take your car and then
make it easy on them.
Yeah, we got to make it easy on these criminals.
How dare you not let them just take your things?
I mean, we don't even let the DAs, you know, prosecute these people. It's like we got to let them go. Nobody wants to do their job anymore. Like, unless you're a Florida sheriff here says if someone breaks into your house, you're welcome to shoot them. Here's that clip, clip four.
As to the person, we don't know which homeowner shot at him. I guess they think that they did something wrong, which they did not. If somebody's breaking into your house, you're more than welcome to shoot them in Santa Rosa County. We prefer that you do, actually. So whoever that was, you're not in trouble. Come see us. We have a gun safety class we put on every other Saturday. And if you take that, you'll shoot a lot better, and hopefully you'll save the taxpayers money.
That's the way to do it. That's the way to deter crime.
In the name of saving taxpayers money.
A criminal's going to think twice if, like, oh, I might not even make it in the door before I'm shot at. They're telling people to just shoot, and they prefer that be the way.
They want you to hit your target.
Yeah, and they want you to hit your target, so go to gun safety classes, you know. I mean, what's a criminal going to think like when they hear that as opposed to the last fool from Canada?
You know, it's in the South they do this
because
remember Clay Higgins did the same thing. He had his whole posse behind him. If you're going to loot, we want you to get shot, basically. That's what he told the criminals. And that was before he became a rep. And I think I'm waiting to see his investigation on Jan 6. He was the one that talked about the ghost buses. And everybody's like, oh, what's the ghost buses? And then they have video. Here's the ghost bus moving in with the fake protesters, essentially. The agents and whatnot.
It reminds me the different ways to handle things, because I was also reading and looking at a story this morning about Polk County, and there was a whole ring of illegal gambling that was going on, and everything about the story was funny because they were saying like bad bet, like bad odds, and of course some of the people they arrested were illegals in Polk County, and that was another funny press conference because the officer was like, you can go and use these machines, which have terrible odds. The machines are set up so that you basically never win. They're just stealing from you illegally because they're not supposed to have these machines. Or you can call Crime Stopper and we will pay you for the tip to catch these guys. He's like, how is that for some good odds? You know? So I thought they handled it really well.
Interesting. Very interesting. Mm-hmm. I've got another disturbing clip. And from the outset, it might not seem disturbing. You might be like, what's disturbing about this? I was very disturbed by it. This is clip 25, guys. It's 15 seconds long. Don't worry about playing the audio to it. And I'll just kind of narrate it. Here's a young boy going through the metal detector. Okay, he's going through airplane security. Oh, look. Oh, it's your first pat down. That's right. The good people with blue gloves are going to touch you now. Mm. You think that's normal?
No, that's awful.
Here it is, boy. Here's your first search. Yeah, it's okay. Just listen to the government agent. And that's a woman, too, feeling up that little boy.
Yeah, that's gross. I hate it when I've had to see my teen son go. He's like, man, they always like grab my nuts. Like, sorry to be crude, but he's just turned 15. And he's like, as a mother, I'm like, oh my gosh. But I mean, I've been felt up by these a-holes as well going through airport security, probably extra in the last administration because I was probably on some list. That's they got rid of the shoes rule, right? Like,
right.
Can we just finally get rid of them altogether at this point?
We got to keep the pat downs and we got to train the young kids that they're going to get patted down. And that's normal.
Yeah, that's
that
so
this
gross.
Is normal. You know, it's not about.
It's normal
safety.
To be treated like a criminal.
Exactly. It's normal
you
to get felt.
Barely
up.
Even know
it's
how to walk.
Normal to go through the naked body scanner. It's normal to have your boobs.
Yeah,
grabbed.
look at it. How aggressive they do it. Like they full on grope you up.
Now the TSA has gotten a lot better than they were, but I've gone traveling with Alex. They pull him out and they go and they give him the full pat down.
Probably every time.
It's amazing. They,
you know, my mother has, you know how you have to go through all this extra security or extra whatever to get the global entry pass.
Yeah.
So you already have to go through all that and show they do all their checks and everything.
DNA swab.
I don't know about all that. But so she already has that. But then she kept on getting pulled aside and she found out that she was on a list.
Like she probably had the same name as a terrorist.
She thinks it was because she donated so heavily to the January 6th cause. Because she's like, why else would I be on some random list after I've already gone through this extra stuff to get global entry, only to have the global entry pass not even really help me because I'm getting held up by all these extra checks. But she had it. Verified that she was like on some kind of list, and the only thing she can figure is that she donated a lot to the January Sixers. I mean, but she also probably bought like a lot of stuff from InfoWars, so it could have been that too.
Well, I'll tell you this.
She's also a huge InfoWars purchaser.
I'll tell you this. The FBI has been, it's been discovered that they were actually going in and looking at who was giving to J6 defense funds. And they were getting bank records, and they were getting all kinds of stuff.
So this was a thing.
100%. 100% going through. They were going
all the way. That makes sense.
Joe Biggs was talking about it, how they were. I had him on a couple days ago. And it's just, they were like, oh, we got to find out who was given to these people and then look at them and see what they were doing. And we had the guy who admitted it was a CIA FBI contractor who said they were analyzing the comments of people talking about the InfoWars case to see where it would go. They would be like, oh, that person's looking at it. So let's see where that goes. So these people, it's just insane. I just had an interview with Ann Vandersteel. A guy's getting his home taken because the IRS is just making tax returns in his name and filing them and then going, hey, you owe us money. He never filed these tax returns. They're filing them as him and then saying, now you owe us money. I mean, it's just, it's getting crazier and crazier. And if you don't rein this in, it's just going to get worse. You have to cut it off at the source. You have to cut the head off the snake. And you have to put people who are doing this in jail. They have to. It has to happen.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I don't know how you feel, but I just feel there's so much still that needs to be done with our current Department of Justice. Might not be the popular thing to say, but it's just, I mean, I loved when I heard that Kash Patel and Dan Bongino were going in. But I mean, there's still too many snakes.
Need results.
They need to get it's bothersome. I just had Dave Sumrall from Stop Hate on. They're organizing an event actually to be had on 9/11. Interestingly enough, a January 6th event on 9/11. But I mean, there's still so much injustice that they're having to face. Some people with only getting their sentences commuted and not getting pardoned.
Right.
And the things, I just can't help but think about when I was hearing Bongino on his podcasts and stuff saying, you know, day one, I'm going to figure out the pipe bomb was obviously a setup. Obviously, day one, we're going to expose all that. And you haven't heard anything about that now.
No.
Nothing. Zero.
It's like, well, you know, that was one of our guys and we can't bust one of our guys because then we would be admitting that we did something wrong and we're the government. We're perfect. Mm-hmm. So they just walk around. I guess when you become the government, part of the government, you just go, oh, we're perfect. We don't do anything wrong. We can say whatever we want and people have to buy it. And we're not buying it. So Bongino, let's see the J6 bomber. Let's, you know, if you have to go out of bounds and do it. Don't be a punk.
Yeah.
You know, I got one last clip. I got two clips, but I got this short one. I just want you to watch this. This is what's going on in New York City, or is it? Here it is. This is clip 26. Now, that's pretty real, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, it's real mixed with AI. There's video of this guy doing this, and then they mixed in AI with it with showing the roof collapse, which you never know what you're going to see nowadays.
Yeah.
You really don't. And you see something like that.
Truth is already stranger than fiction.
Right. The guy just sticking his feet up there like that, like doing, and they do weird dances. The people who have to live in New York City, they use the subway as their little performance venue. And, that was like real mixed with AI. So that's where it gets even weirder because you're like, wait, I've seen that video before, but I don't remember the the ceiling collapsing. And you could tell it's AI because the thing he sticks his feet in, after it all falls, it's still stuck up there.
Oh.
So, but you don't see it. It's quick. It's so quick you have to
be looking.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Interesting.
So I've got one more clip after this. This is it, and then we can finish up with whatever you got. But the Trump administration has tracked down 22,000 kids who went missing, and they made about 400 arrests of people who were sponsors of these kids. These are the people who were saying, oh, yeah, we'll take care of this kid. We're going to put them in the salt mines or the spice mines, whatever they're doing with these kids. It's not good. But here it is. This is clip 22, guys.
Our troubling findings show thousands of migrant children were given to unvetted sponsors under President Biden. Fox News has an exclusive look at the federal team working to find them now. Brooke Taylor is live in Dallas. She's got the latest for us. Good morning, Brooke.
Hi, Dana. Yeah, this team was created in March to fulfill one of President Trump's key campaign promises that he enlisted Border Czar Tom Holman with, which is to find the tens of thousands of unaccompanied minors who crossed the border and were ultimately lost in the system under the Biden administration.
We found kids in very deplorable conditions, very dirty conditions. We found children who have been raped.
We got exclusive access to the team operating from what they call the War Room in Washington, D.C. Working under the Department of Health and Human Services, the team is made up of volunteers from agencies like the FBI and Homeland Security investigations. The team is entirely data-driven. They're focused on analyzing records and addresses to track down where these minors ended up. More than 22,000 unaccompanied children have been found so far under this Trump administration. 27 of the minors were found dead, either murdered or by suicide, car accident, or drug overdoses. And more than 400 sponsors have been arrested.
We're talking about debt bondage, where children are being made to work off debt, trafficking debt. We're talking about children that were brought into situations and then treated like sexual slaves.
In early 2021, record number of children became crossing the border. According to HHS, between 2021 to 2024, more than 470,000 unaccompanied children crossed into the United States. Records show that many of these children were released to sponsors under very lax vetting policies.
What do you think people would be surprised of when it comes to the lack of screening?
Well, under the last administration, there was a severe lack of screening. There was no DNA testing to see if there was a familial connection. Children were released to people that said they were their parents who were not. And in many cases, the data is horrible. What the Biden administration was taking in and actually putting into our computer systems was not the right information. So now we have to draw that all back in and deeply investigate into where some of these children went.
And under the Trump administration, sponsors now have to get DNA tested, they have to get fingerprinted, and show proof of income that they could actually take care of the child. Dana.
Wow, just basics. We have to do a DNA test. We have to see that you're a real person, that you're a family member, and that you have a job so you can take care of this kid. Oh, but under Biden, it was just like, oh, you want a kid? How many? You want four? You want five? Take them.
Yeah. Well, y'all should pull up DHS Aaron on X, because it was a whistleblower who was talking about this a long time on X. It's DHS Aaron M. Stevenson. And he still hasn't found justice. So, well, we just recently saw some whistleblowers reinstated, like Steve Friend and Gerardo Boyle. DHS Aaron is still, and he had some recent posts about this. He said, now that they're confirming what I blew the whistle on over 4.5 years ago, I think leadership, DHS Gov and USCIS need to come back to the table to discuss my wrongful termination. So again, there's people that are being forgotten about who have not gotten justice. 27 dead kids and counting. We can't forget about these folks that were courageous and brave. And he's still saying, you know, that's great that they have found this many, but there's still so much more that needs to be done. I mean, don't forget, we're talking about 22,000 that have been located. But don't forget, what was it, like about 400,000 that we know of,
that we know of.
So, I mean, this is not even including what we don't know of. We know that that number could be huge as well. So this is a huge issue. It's devastating. And, you know, it took a long time to see much deserved some kind of justice and restoration for people like Steve Friend and Garrett O'Boyle. But we're still waiting on some of those whistleblowers.
Well, Mayorkas needs to be strung up, because that guy was allowing this, and he was the ringleader, just letting this go on and, you know, putting in the policies of, hey, we're not going to do DNA testing anymore. We're just going to give these people, if they say they're a parent, we're going to give them to them. You've got
so,
you
gross.
Know, 27 dead kids that we know
anybody
about.
Involved in that. Like, that's what's so heartbreaking, is that how many people were part of this operation that weren't included in speaking up? How could anybody in their right mind allow this to happen? How could all of these people that were part of this, and like dropping them off at, they had addresses of like strip joints. How many people didn't speak up? I mean, we know the people, some of the small amount of people that spoke up and paid the price, but shame on all these people. It's just, I can't even imagine.
And then you got people like Senator Wyden who are like, oh, you're shipping kids back to where they came from.
How dare you?
And how dare you do that?
How dare you reunite kids with their own family?
You flew on Epstein's boat or Epstein's plane. And it's just like, whatever, man. These people, so they think they're cool with these kids getting put in with sexual predators. Obviously, there was enough crime going on when 400 people were arrested. They were doing something wrong. Mm-hmm. You know, because God only knows, if you're some way associated with the government, you can almost get away with anything and nothing happens to you.
Yeah.
Totally disgusting. Tell everybody where they can see your show, because you do a show on Lindell Network, right?
Yes, I do. And we didn't get a chance to show you that Mike Lindell did finally get his phone back.
Yeah.
Yeah. FBI gave it back to him. The FBI took his phone. He finally just got it back. But yeah, I've been working over there with Mike Lindell.
Common Criminal, Mike Lindell.
Lindell TV. You know. We do DC Dispatch is my show on there, 3 to 4 Eastern. It's live. And yeah, you should check it out. We got White House correspondence and everything. So it's
there you
good,
go.
Good thing.
Well, as I was talking to Alex earlier, and he's like, yeah, we're going to go 19 hours, 20 hours. So there may be another Christy Lee show in the works. We'll see what's happening. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you on Monday. That's it for the InfoWars War Room for this week.